rest of our team. Just stay focused on the process, and everything will take care of ourselves. We wanted to get in the playoffs. That was a big goal of ours. We're here, and now we're ready to go ahead and meet the challenge that we have Friday night with Kearney.
Well, Coach, we appreciate the time here on Classic Hits, and safe travels, and have a great game, and best of luck to you in the future.
All right, thanks a lot.
That's Papillion La Vista head football coach Jeff Covier, and we'll be back and hear from Kearney Bearcat coach Brandon Cool right after this timeout on Classic Hits.
For professional service to keep your business running smoothly, call Hellman, Main, Kostler, and Cottle. Don't let your financial accounts become overtaxing. Let Hellman, Main, Kostler, and Cottle take care of the accounting while you worry about taking care of your business. They can do it all, from a large company to small businesses. They make it a priority to do the best to help take the stress out of the numbers. Best of luck to all the area athletes in tonight's game from Hellman, Main, Kostler, and Cottle.
I have always said that I'm a Nebraska Farm Bureau member because it gives me, as a farmer, a voice in the legislature and in Washington, D.C. But did you know what your Buffalo County Farm Bureau does for you in your own backyard? By giving scholarships to local kids, supporting the Buffalo County Fair and 4-H programs, or tackling zoning concerns and other local issues. Farm Bureau starts right here. That's why I'm a proud Farm Bureau member.
Call Buffalo County Farm Bureau and rediscover your grassroots power.
And we're back on the New Tech Seed pregame show on Classic Hits, talking with the head football coach of the Kearney Bearcats, Brandon Cool, as they begin their run into the 2011 playoffs and got a nice win last week when we saw them down at Seacrest Field with a very solid second half against Lincoln North Star. Coach, I guess the way we saw it, and you have to defend every play, and big plays are part of it, but you take away a couple of big plays like the week before against Southwest, and you really kind of dominated North Star. When you went back to film, is that the way it looked, or were you concerned a little bit?
No, that's exactly how we felt during the game, at halftime, at the end of the game, and then as we watch film. So, yeah, we take away Mentor's two 60-yard plays against us, and I think they had about 110, 115 yards total offense. So I thought our defense really played extremely well. We did a good job of controlling the line of scrimmage. We were able to get those guys off the field and get our offense back on the field. And then I thought our offense did a good job of sustaining some drives, and we were able to kind of run out the clock there, especially in the second half.
What do you think your team is doing better the last two games? You wanted them to do some things better coming out of Southwest. Did you see those on Thursday?
Yeah, we did. We wanted to get a little bit better in the special team department, and we ended up scoring a touchdown for our first one of that game on a punt return by Trey Anderson. And so we wanted to get some more return yards. I thought that was a positive from the special team department. And we did a little bit better job of tackling in the open field. We still missed a few, but I thought we did a little bit better job of being physical and tackling. And offensively, I really like our consistency that we've been able to possess here the last two or three weeks. In order for us to be successful, Luke's going to have to command our offense, and we were able to run him probably maybe a little bit too much against North Star, but he was able to get first downs, and so we just kept doing it. And so I think everything put together, we got an extra day of rest, and hopefully we'll be ready to go for Pavilion.
Speaking of that, the long run that set up the field goal, I haven't had a chance to talk to you. There was a flag on the play, was there? And then they picked it up. Was there an explanation for what that was?
Yeah, the explanation is it was offsides on the defense, which should have been a dead ball, and ball should have occurred right there, and we should have been able to snap the ball again, clearing our own territory. So we appreciate the refs being on our side from that standpoint.
Well, we can use a break once in a while. Brandon Cool joins us here on the New Tech Seed pregame show. Go back to Trey. He had a really good game. He had a receiving touchdown, and the receiving touchdown was set up by a nice play on that drive earlier. He has the punt return. Tell me a little bit about how he has developed for you.
Well, I think he's done a good job. We expect a lot out of him when you're playing both sides of football like he does, and he's had an opportunity to be in the return game all year long. He just hasn't hit that pop that big one like we saw against North Star. And then the way they were running their secondary, we were able to kind of get him matched up on an outside linebacker where we felt like that was a good advantage for us. And we were able to throw an out route to him for some big yards, and then we just went out and up against that outside linebacker, and he was able to score a touchdown. And so he's got a lot of game experience. We expect big things out of him, and hopefully that'll continue in the playoff run.
We talked last week about losing a day because you were playing on Thursday. You virtually gained a day here by playing Thursday and not again until the next Friday. Did you take an extra day off? Did you do anything different?
No, we came in. We came in on Friday after school, and we stretched them out, and then we probably ran more than what we usually do on a Friday after a game like that. But we gave them both Saturday and Sunday off. and expected them ready to go on Monday's practice, and been really, really pleased with this week's practice, and hopefully that, let's see if that'll make a big difference for us in tonight's game.
I was going to say, the kids and the coaching staff, it's nice that you can say you're used to this playoff routine. How is the first week of playoffs different than any other week in the regular season?
It really isn't. We still try to stay with the same routine. We try to cut down practices about 10, 15 minutes and try to keep our guys as fresh as we can. But film sessions, we still have our film sessions, our meetings. We still do everything that we do in a regular a week of practice. And so for us, it's just about being focused at the task at hand and keeping guys fresh for Friday night's game.
Well, let's take a look at Papillion La Vista. We know they've got a heck of a passing game and might be a little something different than what you've seen in most of the teams this year. Let's start there. Alec DeToro is just under 2,000 yards, which in the high school ranks is insane. Tell me a little bit about him and your concerns about their passing game.
Well, we're going to have to bend a little bit, but we just can't break. They're going to get a few yards in the passing game, but we just can't give up that huge play for 6 points or that huge third and 12 situation where they get a first down. We're going to have our ears bend back and get after him. He's only a sophomore kid, so this is kind of his first experience in the playoff setting, and so maybe our game experience and our playoff experience will get him get a little heat on him defensively. But overall, we're going to have our hands full on the defensive side of the ball. So keep them in long yardage situations and get stops when we need them.
Brandon Cool is joining us here on the New Tech Seed pregame show as they get ready for Papillion La Vista. They had a transfer come in Trey Moore, but he hasn't done a whole lot from the quarterback position, more than a backup. He does have some rushing yards. You've got Tyler Rice that has about 570 yards. Usually all coaches say you got to stop the run. What's your thought on their running game?
Well, I still think that's the case. If we get the little quick running back or Trey Moore out in the open field, those guys can get chunks of yards for them offensively, and that's a big concern. They're big and physical up front. They keep things simple, or they're going to cave everything down and try to kick out one of our defensive tackles or defensive ends. And so for us, we're going to have to stop that run to make them one-dimensional and then try to defend the pass the best we can. So they're pretty athletic back there. Both quarterbacks can run, and obviously their quick running back can also run.
Brandon, where do you see an advantage for the Bearcats? As you look at Papillion La Vista, is there a spot? I look at special teams, but I'm looking offensively or defensively. Is there a spot that you think you can take advantage?
Well, I hope we can on the offensive side of the ball, where we have been pretty consistent the last 2 or 3 weeks and able to move the chains. We got a big quarterback in Luke McNitt that's able to pound and get another 2 or 3 yards if we need it. And so in order for us to be successful, we're going to have to be consistent at moving the chains and getting first downs. I think our offensive line has done a good job. We'll keep it pretty simple with them, but our receivers have done a lot better job of blocking downfield for those extra yards in the run game and catching the ball when we need it. So we're going to have to run more plays than them on offense in order for us to win this football game.
They've got an all-stater in Utter. What do you have to do? Do you have to worry about him as an individual, I guess would be the best way to say this?
Yeah, without a doubt. What a nice asset that they have for their football team. And I think the key part is we're going to have to know where he's at all the time, being an all-stater like that. So we're not going to change a whole lot there, but we just got to be aware of what he's doing at all times.
Well, I know this is going to be a heck of a first-round matchup. Can you compare this team to anybody you've played this year?
I would probably compare them to spreading the field like a Grand Island or a Bellevue West in the passing game. North Platte runs a lot of trips and stuff like that. And so those are the teams that really threw the ball at us an awful lot. And so that's probably the best comparison. They might be a little bit bigger than those. I'm pretty athletic from that standpoint. So we'll have our hands full. And I think those the key part is anytime you have a 7th seed versus a 10th seed, it's always going to be a great battle for a playoff atmosphere type game.
Last question, Brandon. I've said this and asked this of all the coaches this week. I know it's one game at a time, but yet you get that first look at the bracket on Saturday morning. I know the kids are going, man, we get a win, we got a good chance of playing Southwest again. What is your thought about the Class A bracket this year and where you're sitting?
Well, I think Class A is wide open like it usually is. You got your top 2, 3, 4 teams that are going to battle for the state title, and the rest of us are just competing to stay in the football playoff run. And the team that can get hot, the team that can take care of the ball, do the right things on special teams, is going to have the opportunity to continue to move on. And so you have to get hot at the end of the season. You have to be hot the first 2 or 3 games into the playoffs in order to make a run at the title.
Well, Coach, we'll wish you the best of luck here, and always great to have a home game at beautiful Foster Field. Let's do this again next Friday.
That sounds good. Thank you for your coverage.
That's Brandon Cool, head football coach of the Bearcats, and we're back at Foster Field on the New Tech Seed pregame show to look at the starting lineups right after this.
For over 50 years, Sorensen Construction in Kearney has been your number one designing, building, and general contractors. Sorensen Construction specializes in new construction, additions, and remodeling, both commercial and residential. Count on the professionals. Call Rick and Tim to take care of your building today. Building Kearney is what they do. Sorensen Construction, your on-time contractor for over 50 years. Sorensen Construction is a proud supporter of all area sports.
Honey, hurry. We need to finish loading up the trash. The dump closes in 30 minutes.
Don't let trash take up time in your busy schedule. Let Ravenna Sanitation take care of all your trash needs. At Ravenna Sanitation, they take trash seriously. They're there to be your trash collection connection. If you need trash removal from your home, business, or farm, Ravenna Sanitation is the quality, dependable trash hauling service that you've been looking for. Ravenna Sanitation, serving all of Buffalo County.
And welcome back to the New Tech Seed pregame show here on Classic Hits 98.9 and the World Wide Web at kkpr.com, PlatteRiverPreps.com. Glad to have you on the program for tonight's high school football action. We get ready for Kearney High taking on Papillion La Vista, and let's take a look at the starting lineups for tonight's high school football contest, the opening round of the Class A playoffs, brought to you by Five Points Bank, the better bank, proud of their long history of being the local community bank to count on in our area, with their growth in deposits and loans the past 20 years unparalleled in the Tri-City area. They've also concentrated on being a profitable and secure place for their customers. Growth, profitability, and providing the best in customer service, goals they strive for and achieve at Five Points Bank, the better bank. First off, for the Monarchs of Papillion La Vista, the center is number 65, and he gives you the most rough name we've seen all year, but he's a pretty good one. 5'10", 220-pound senior, and that is Nick Wozenkevich. At the guard, left guard, number 62, 6 foot, 190-pound senior, Anthony White. Right guard, number 75, 6'1", 245-pound senior, Ben Jamison. At the tackle, left tackle, number 68, 6'4", 255-pound senior, Jake Gaston. And number 77, 5'10", 220-pound junior, Nick Ginger. They run the wideout set, of course, four wideouts. They'll go with the ace back in number 17, 5'8", 175-pound senior Scott Lux. Your three wide receivers at the X, number 2, 6'4", 194-pound junior Bryce Sheard. At the Y, number 10, 6'3", 205-pound junior Spencer Lewis. And at the Z, number 4, 6'4", 190-pound senior Ryan Leaf. The running back is number 20, 5'8", 175-pound junior Tyler Rice. And the quarterback, 25 yards shy of 2,000 in his sophomore season, is number 18, 5'10", 160-pounder Alec DeTiro. The head coach at Papillion La Vista is Jeff Govier. They come in with a record of 7-2, ranked 10th in Huskerland Prep Report. Their two losses this year coming at Omaha Burke, the number one team in the state, 42-35, and last week to Omaha Westside in their lowest scoring game of the year, losing 20-17. They have just one win against a team with a winning record, and that came on opening night against Papillion La Vista South, who is 5-4. Now for the Kearney Bearcats, no changes in their starting lineup the last couple of weeks, and that's a good thing, you would think, for Coach Brandon Cool. The center is number 55, 6 foot, 252-pound junior, Grady Donahoe. The left guard is number 65, 6 foot, 221-pound senior, Grady Kowalski. The right guard, number 50, 5'11", 220-pound senior, Zach Yoakum. At left tackle, number 53, 6'1", 235-pound junior, Jackson Gannon. At right tackle, number 69, 5'9", 220-pound senior, Logan Worth. Also a pretty spread out formation here for the Kearney Bearcats. They'll go with three wide receivers at the X off a big game last week. Trey Anderson, number 17, 6'2", 198-pound senior. At the Y, number 5, 6'2", 196-pound senior Nate Stevens. And at the Z, Spencer Lindsay, number 6, 5'10", 189-pound senior, who does everything on special teams as well. The halfback is number 29, 6', 201-pound senior Derek Schreiner. The I-back, number 3, 5'11", 170-pound junior Caleb Lundgren. And the quarterback for the Kearney Bearcats, number 15, 6'1", 210-pound junior Luke McNitt. Head coach of the Kearney Bearcats is Brandon Cool. They are 7-2 on the season, ranked 9th and 10th in the two papers at Huskerland Prep Report. Kearney High's two losses are to Grand Island, who was number 2 and unbeaten until last week. They're 8-1. The other loss to Lincoln Southwest, who's also 8-1. How many winning teams has Kearney beaten? 2, both of them 5-4, Lincoln North Star and Columbus. Those are the starting lineups. Brought to you by Five Points Bank, the better bank. Your lifestyle, your bank, and your solution is Five Points Bank. Taking care of customers one person at a time. Five Points Bank, the better bank. Our injury report, and there are a couple that we have to look at, and they're always sponsored by our friends at Family Physical Therapy. We'll take a look at both of those. Family Physical Therapy knows everyone has an oops once in a while. Maybe you sustain an injury during competition or just strain your knee or back doing chores at home. Well, your job is to explain it to your friends. It's Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center's job to get you back into the game of life. One near you, right here in Kearney, as well as Ravenna, Minden, Elm Creek, Franklin, Lexington, and Wood River. If you have an oops, tell your doctor you want Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center to rehab you back into the game of life. Tony Davis, what do we got?
I tell you, on the Papillion-La Vista side of the ball, they say, you know what, we had some hurt kids, but they weren't people that would have played tonight. We didn't even bring them. They have no injuries report on Kearney's side of things. Kalen Mazankowski's out with a knee injury. Number 8 will not see action tonight. Lincoln Peterson broke both bones in his leg on a strange hit that got hit right in the shin. Both bones in his leg are broke. Josh Smith would have saw a lot of action this whole entire season, but he's been out with a back injury. He tried to come back. Then it was a groin injury for him. Ty Braden will suit up, will see action tonight, will try and go. But remember last week, he had back spasms on the way to Lincoln. Also, Blake McNeil with an ankle injury. Those are the Kearney injuries to report to you tonight, Doug.
And the injuries are brought to you by Family Physical Therapy. Check them out here in Kearney. We'll get ready for the kickoff right after this.
It's fall, and we Nebraskans are serious about our football. We pay attention to the punch, the passes, the tackles, and the touchdowns. Same thing goes for hassle-free at the Midway Auto Group. Folks at Midway care about every aspect of your buying and ownership experience. You'll find our lowest prices right there in the window. And when you purchase, you can get a free year of routine maintenance and free car washes for life. Hassle-free. It's a big deal at the Midway Auto Group on South 2nd Avenue in Kearney or online at thinkmidway.com. Think hassle-free. Think Midway.
It's time now to take a look at today's starting time and temperature. It's 1 minute before the hour of 7 o'clock, and it is 51 degrees here at Foster Field. Time and temp brought to you by Big G.A.'s Hardware of Hastings and the original Sun Heat Infrared Heaters. It's that time of year again when the temperature falls and your heating costs go up. Slash your heating costs with the original Sun Heat Infrared Heater from Big G.A.'s Hardware in Hastings. You've been listening to the New Tech Seed pregame show. Contact Terry and Jason Stark or a New Tech Seed dealer near you. Tony, Kearney High won the toss. They're going to defer.
Yeah, and Spencer Lindsay, he hopes to kick this thing through the end zone, have them start deep in their own territory at the 20-yard line. He's got the leg to do it.
And we get ready for high school football on this playoff night. Glad to have you along with us here on KKPR-FM, Kearney, Hastings, Grand Island, and the World Wide Web at PlatteRiverPreps.com. The ball is in the air, and it will be taken at about the 4, now to the 3-yard line. And up the field come the Monarchs, trying the right side up to the 10 to about the 15, and right there to make the tackle for Kearney High.
I believe it was 22. Jaw Thong was one of the first people there.
Well, we got 34, Tony, and he is not on my roster, so I apologize for that. He's the kid that went in there and made the tackle for Kearney High. Tyler Gillen is who's listed here on the main roster, so that's what we've got. First down and 10 here for the Kearney High Bearcats defense, and Papillion-La Vista now brings that high-octane offense where they like to throw the ball, and DeTero's going to throw it out here for a swing pass, caught 15 to the outside 18-yard line after starting at the 10.
Well, that was a great one-on-one tackle. Spencer Lindsay makes sure he goes no further, flying over there making the tackle. They'll go to the hurry-up, Doug.
Going to be a gain on the play of about 5 yards. We're going to have to get the pen ready for this young man. And that'll bring up second down and five. Man in motion here for the Monarchs as they come from our right to left. Ball, second down and six. Draw play up the middle. Little running room, 20, 25. Skip to the outside, 30, and pushed out of bounds right there. Will be the I-back, Tyler Rice. So two good plays to start the ball game here.
Good block on the outside there by number two, Bryce Sheard, for the Monarchs.
Going to be a 16-yard gain and bring up first down and 10 at their own 34-yard line. I expect to see up and down the field here this evening. I think Kearney can move the ball as well. They just go five wide and sling the ball. Dottero out of the shotgun, takes the snap, looks to his right, swings it to the back out of the backfield. That's going to be his ace back, Scott Lux, and he's going to be brought down short of the 40-yard line. Gain of about five on the play.
Yeah, Lundgren brings him down. Once again, those are one-on-one tackles the Bearcats will have to make tonight.
So that'll bring up second down. Call it about five and a half here. Dottero going to hand it off, fake the handoff, keep it himself, and nowhere to go across the 40 to about the 41. May have got 2 yards. Be third down and three.
One of the first people there, Jackson Gannon, does a good job, very, very active on that defensive line for the Bearcats.
So Dottero, for the first time, holds on to that football at the quarterback position, and now taking the ball, the quarterback straight ahead, and this is Moore out of the Wildcat, and he's going to bring it up close to the first down, Tony.
Yeah, I think he's got the first down, Doug. They gave him a pretty good spot on it. He's about a half a yard beyond it. I don't think they're even going to have to measure for this.
Again, Trey Moore, the young man that came out of North Platte, he's really a great basketball player, as you heard, and they will use him in that backfield, and that's kind of what they have started with here. And left Dottero, they put him side to side, the shotgun, so you can snap it to either one of them. And that keeps you guessing, and it's going to go to Moore. He's going to throw the football over the right side. It's complete into Bearcat territory at the 47-yard line, a gain of eight more.
Yeah, Ryan Leaf on the reception there. He gets rid of the ball so very, very fast. The Bearcats got people flying at him, but they're two steps away when he lets go of it.
And out of the no huddle, they know what they want to do. Moore stays at the quarterback position here now on this opening drive. He's going to come straight ahead, and he's going to run right in to Jackson Gannon for a short gain of about a yard and a half. They'll get to the Bearcat 45-yard line. This is the kind of offense that will get 100 plays off here.
Yeah, Jennings Gannon, number 65, Kowalski Gannon, and number 3, Caleb Lundgren, all there for the Bearcats. But
now we'll see a penalty flag. It looks like, they're going to say close enough to measure for a first down here. They'll bring the chains out. It was second and short, and it looks like Papillion-La Vista is going to be an inch short of the first down. So third down and just about an inch to go here, which sometimes can be difficult when you're out of that spread offense. But the way the Monarchs are playing football right now, nothing seems to be difficult. Opening possession, scoreless here. We're not even 2 minutes in. Starting at their own 10-yard line, they've moved it all the way up to the 45, and the ball is nearly bobbled, and then right up the middle for a big gain, 40-35, and finally will be stacked up there, will be the quarterback. And, Tony, they've rotated the quarterbacks in so much that was almost a quarterback sneak for a touchdown to the 32-yard line.
Well, yeah, he's trying to get bunched up the middle, and then all the Bearcats were in the middle, so he bounced it out around everybody, and then there was just one linebacker to save the touchdown. That was Trey Anderson.
That was a 13-yard gain, and the ball is at the Kearney High 32-yard line. Out of the shotgun, Moore stays back there. Now they've got Dottero. When he wants to throw to the right side, there's nobody there, and a penalty flag comes down. Well, we knew that they would interchange their quarterbacks. We didn't think that they would do it on a series. We thought they would do it, during a series. We thought they'd do it every other series, possibly. But now Dottero was in there, and it looks like we're going to have our first penalty flag of the game.
They got a sideline warning on the Kearney coaching staff, and Brandon Cool is not happy about that at all.
Wow, he's hot down there about something. And the play does stand, at least, and that'll be an incomplete pass for Dottero. And on second down, they're going to turn. They're going to hand the ball right up the middle and across the 25 down to about the 22-yard line is going to be the ace back, Scott Lux.
Jennings is there to stop him, but that's, you know, that can't be happening if you're the Bearcat defense. Much, much too much damage. There's nobody touching him for 8 yards down the field.
They call it second down. And
boy, Brandon Cool is all over this official over here.
He must be wanting a chance to sub. That's my guess, is that you get a chance to at least sub, and they're not letting Carney do that. It's going to be a gain of 9 for Luck there. Luck's getting the gain of 9. It'll be second and short. So the pace of this game, not to Carney's liking here in the first 2.5 minutes. Not to my liking either. We're trying to keep up with which quarterback's in the ball game. So DeTero and Moore, and they will send a man in motion to go straight ahead again. And a first down for Papillion La Vista.
Well, they're just straight ahead 6 yards every time. And it's not like anybody's hitting them to slow them down. I mean, it's a full head of steam blasting straight ahead.
So DeTero carrying the ball that time. Going to pick up about 5 yards on the play. And it'll be first down and 10 at the 16-yard line. Hand it to Rice over the right side. Makes one man miss. Gets to the corner, to the 10, to the 5, and into the end zone for a Papillion La Vista touchdown.
Well, they showed some speed to the outside. Rice did, and no one was there once again. They bounced around the outside, and that's, you know, that's his 8th rushing touchdown of the year. He's going, you know what, he goes for 63.4 yards a game, but you know, there's 16 right there.
So a 90-yard drive here for Papillion La Vista. And the extra point attempt is coming up. And Gabe Hoynes will attempt that extra point. Long count here for the snap. It's a good one. The placement's down. The kick is up, and the kick is good. So with 9:05 to go, first quarter, Papillion La Vista takes it right down the field. Monarch 7, Carney nothing. We'll have the kickoff after this.
From checking and savings accounts to personal loans and 24-hour access to your funds, Five Points Bank personal banking solutions are simply better. To stay ahead in your business, you keep abreast of new technology. So does Five Points Bank. We'll help you stay one step ahead. Our experienced investment and trust advisors know the best way to help you achieve your goals. Stop by in person or visit us on the web at fivepointsbank.com. Five Points Bank, the better bank. Member FDIC, equal housing lender.
When I told my buddies my starting quarterback in my fantasy league was going to be Matt Schaub, they all laughed. Well, me and my buddies went to Cunningham's General like we do every week, practically the ultimate place for sports fans. You can catch all your players on one of their bajillion screens. Husker football every week, awesome food and drink specials, and the beer so cold. Anyways, we're watching the game on the 10-foot screen. There was Matt Schaub tearing it up, threw for 3 touchdowns, even ran for one. And guess who's laughing now? So sports fans, there's only one place to be time and time again. That's Cunningham's General, downtown Kearney.
Well, Kearney High now gets set for the kickoff here. Papillion La Vista does the bunch, fake the kickoff quick. We saw it last night quite a bit over there at Minden. And now they'll line up and boot it away. Good, strong kick by Hoynes, taken at the 2-yard line by Caleb Lundgren, right side 10, hemmed in 15. Ooh, makes a man miss at the 20. Tight ropes the sideline. Ball flies out, but he's out of bounds. And Kearney High will have it first down and 10 at around the 28-yard line. Jack Kalina in on the tackle.
No, there was a kicker. But they're mixing up kickers too, Doug. I don't know why Kalina, number 14, is the one that booted that ball.
All right. Well, maybe they're trying to fool the radio guys as well. So we get back to action. Adams Central has taken a 6-0 lead over Gary tonight in Class B action. 7-0, Papillion La Vista. First down and 10 here. Trey Anderson is in motion. McNitt out of the shotgun will give it to Anderson around the left side. Has a little bit of a crease over the 30 and gets to the 35-yard line. A gain of 6 on the opening play here for the Bearcats.
That good push over there for the Bearcats all the way down the field. Number 69, Logan Worth. I mean, he's literally 13 yards down the field blocking people, and that's what the Bearcats need to get into that linebacker and into that defensive backfield region of this defense.
Well, Kearney High likes to hurry up the offense as well, but not quite as much as Papillion. Back to pass McNitt. Little inside screen. Complete and immediately hit is Nate Stevens. He'll have a minimal gain of 1 yard, and it'll be third down and 2 Third down and three for the Bearcats.
Now Trey Priest flies in there and makes a great tackle. Very, very low. Stevens almost as soon as he caught the football.
So the Bearcats kind of need a first down here, need to get something going on offense after they fall behind 7-0 to Papillion La Vista. Earlier today, Lincoln Southwest, a 35-13 winner over Bellevue West, so they get the winner of this game next Friday. Twins right, single to the left. Out of the backfield is going to be Caleb Lundgren. And a quarterback draw for McNitton. He's got the first down over the 40-yard line. And he'll be tripped up there by number 6, Anthony Figueroa. But enough to move the chains here for Kearney High.
Yeah, Figueroa, Alexander, and Priest. Those are the three names defensively you're going to hear a lot for the Monarchs.
So a 5-yard gain for McNitt. And Kearney High has good field position at their own 42-yard line. 7:40 to go first quarter here on Classic Hits. Now trips to the left side, and Trey Anderson alone to the right side. He's got man-to-man coverage over here. Now they will send in motion Derek Schreiner. McNitt, three-step drop, going to throw underneath to Anderson, complete, and gets to the 45, tries to run a man over, is stood up and pushed out of bounds. He didn't have much real estate to work with after he caught it. There were three Monarchs waiting for him there in the maroon and white, and they'll mark the ball at the 45-yard line.
Well, Doug, on the outside, the difference between what the Monarchs were doing on the offensive side of the ball and what the Bearcats are doing, you know, that's been 6 or 8 yards for the Monarchs. That's 3 or 4 for the Bearcats.
Just a 2-yard pass that time, second down and 8. McNitt out of the shotgun, quarterback keeper over the left side, makes one man miss, gets just short of midfield to the 49-yard line, gain of 4, third down and 4.
Ethan Humphrey, the first man there, number 30, from a linebacker position for the Monarchs. And that's where the Monarchs did a better job than North Star. It was always one-on-one with McNitt, and it doesn't work to tackle him one-on-one. You've got to get jerseys around the football, and McNitt is strong and will knock you down. They had three guys. Once Humphreys held on, he had three other white jerseys wrapping up McNitt.
Grand Island leads Columbus 7-0 underway in the first quarter in GI. Right now, third down and 4, Bearcats, their own 49. Slant pattern complete. Lindsey wide open, 45, 40, carrying Monarchs with him to the 38-yard line. Nice play right on the hands there from Luke McNitt.
Yeah, it's one of those passes you think you see those things in film, and I'm sure Brandon Cool thought that was going to be open. Lindsey finds a nice little hole, just a little seam in the zone defense, and McNitt zips the ball out there. Good pickup for the Bearcats here.
14-yard gain, first and 10. Kearney trailing 7-0 with 6.5 to go in the first quarter. They're now at the Monarch 38-yard line, and as we said last week, Kearney doesn't shoot down the field with deep passes very often. As they will send the tight end in motion to the right side, give him a slot that way. And it's going to be an option play to the right. McNitt keeping it all the way, lunges forward and gets to about the 37-yard line. Short gain there for McNitt, about a yard is all.
Well, he had a hop over Humphrey, and then Genovese brings him down. So, once again, there's just a lot of traffic out there, no room for McNitt to run.
McNitt, 3 carries, 10 yards. He's 3 for 3 through the air for 17 yards. The Bearcats, who had a good kick return to start things off from Caleb Lundgren, now in Monarch territory, facing 2nd and 9 at the 37-yard line. Out of the shotgun again, slant pattern. They just completed it to Lindsey. This time they complete it to Nate Stevens, and he's got the first down across the 25 to the 24.
Yeah, Jeff Govier's not happy over on the Monarch sidelines, looking at his defensive back saying, "We got to fix that. They've got us on it twice now. Fix it, guys. We worked on that."
So another first down here for Kearney High, trailing 7-0, but each team has only had it once. This is the opening drive for the Bearcats. Trey Anderson to the left, and they'll bring to the right side Spencer Lindsey. Schreiner slot, send Anderson in motion, give it to him on the end around, has a big seam, 20, 15, and he's tripped up just short of the 10-yard line, cut it up inside the hash mark, and it's going to be first and goal, Bearcats.
Yeah, Figueroa was there with the ankle tackle, otherwise he probably just keeps on loping into the end zone there. Well, a great cutback, and then his full speed ahead there.
So first and goal, Kearney High, trying to answer here. After Papillion La Vista went 90 yards on their opening drive, first and goal at the 9. McNitt will stay in the shotgun. He will put Lundgren to his right side. And McNitt fakes the handoff, keeps it over the right side, follows his blockers inside the five, still got the legs churning, trying to get to the goal line, but be shoved back right there. And they'll actually say that the five-yard line is about all he's going to get, a gain of four. Ran a long way. Got to remember that he starts 4 or 5 yards behind the line of scrimmage on that surge.
Yeah, from the initial point of where he was hit was about 10 or 12 yards that they pushed him towards the east side of the field there. So you can tell he's so hard to bring down that Monarchs realized it on that play.
So second and goal here, Kearney High, down 7-0 with 4:20 to go in the first quarter of play. Twins right, ball near the right hash, one-on-one coverage out towards the left. McNitt, quarterback draw. Oh, there's nowhere to go. He took a step forward and then tried to stop and go left, but there was no time to do it as Nick Lechtenberg comes in and gets him right away, and they're going to lose some yardage on this play, almost back to the original line of scrimmage. It's going to be third and goal at the 10.
Yeah, Lundgren was out there like an option to the left, and I think McNitt, if he'd have had another split second, but decided I got too many white jerseys on me, just tucked it away and went down.
So third and goal here for Kearney. Four wideouts. Let's see if McNitt goes to the air here on third down and goal at the 9. Now he's changing the play at the line of scrimmage as you see a different defensive set here from the Monarchs. McNitt takes the snap, looks right, throws right. It is caught and down at the goal line. The ball is dislodged. Will they call it a complete pass? Caleb Lundgren had the ball and was just destroyed. And I think they're going to call it a fumble.
No, Doug, they've never singled it a Monarch ball. I think it's Kearney's ball. No, they're the first indication. He's trying to get up. It was number 44, Nick Lechtenberg, just blasted.
Nate Stevens on the plane.
Right.
Not Lundgren, just Nate Stevens. That's hard to believe that was called a catch. The officials are talking about it right now. I don't think that's a catch. He never made a move with a football. The officials are talking about this at the goal line, and they're not going to overturn it. Not once they mark the ball, it'll be at the 1.
Well, that's a huge hit. I don't know if Stevens knows where he's at. They're going to take him back to the bench. He's got his helmet off right now.
Going to mark the ball at the 1. And it'll be first down and 10 there for Papillion La Vista, leading at 7-0 with 3:23 to go here. And Trey Moore is going to be the quarterback on this play, up under center, trying to get away from the goal line. He'll turn, hand it to the last man through. That's Rice, who gets out of the end zone and up to about the 3-yard line.
Well, I have to see that on Coach Cool's film, but it didn't have it for very long as far as the reception goes. But he was hammered.
Going to say a gain of 2 on the play. It is a Maryland I formation now at the goal line. They're just trying to get away and nowhere to go. Coming through on that blitz, on the run blitz, is going to be Schreiner to drop the running back, Scott Lux, for no gain. It'll be third down and 7.
That Schreiner's one of the leaders on the defensive side of the ball. He actually leads the team in tackles with 89 tackle points on the year. That's 41 assisted tackles and 24 unassisted tackles. So,
again, Maryland I, they've got a first man in that Maryland I that weighs about 270. Moore wants to throw the ball out here in the flat right side and overshot his intended receiver at the 30-yard line.
There's a flag, too.
Well, that'll be a no-doubt decline if it's a hold on a Papillion La Vista. And that is going to be the case, a holding call. Kearney will decline that, and Papillion La Vista will have to punt out of their own end zone.
Coach Cool says, get my punt receiving team out there, and let's see if we put some pressure on this. Start on their side of the field this time.
Spencer Lindsay and Trey Anderson back there to return the kick for the Bearcats. Trey had a 47-yard punt return for a touchdown at North Star last week. And Hoynes, with only about a yard behind him as he stands deep in his own end zone. Here's the snap, the boots away, end over end, taking it at the 37-yard line, and on the run, Lindsay, 30, 25, down the right sideline, 15, and he's going to be pulled out of bounds near the 14-yard line.
Now they're going to get him stepping out, Doug, well before that, about the 22. Official, right there.
Yeah, it looked like when he made the corner, he ran out of real estate, but didn't see the arms go in the air.
Still great field position. Oh, don't get wrong with the Bearcats.
About a 33-yard punt was all they get out of that one. And it'll be first down and 10, Bearcats. And they're going to mark it at the 21-yard line of Papillion La Vista. 7-0 here. The Monarchs lead Kearney with 2:08 to go in the first quarter. High school football action on Classic Hits 98.9 and the World Wide Web at PlatteRiverPreps.com, opening round of the Class A state football playoffs.
Well, Stevens is going to the locker room for the Bearcat fans out there that want to know about him.
We'll put him on our injury report at halftime as they give the ball to Lundgren. Lundgren straight ahead and not much there for him. He'll get maybe to the 20.
Well, pushing and shoving after the play there between Logan Worth and one of the defensive linemen for the Monarchs. That's number 42 for the Monarchs, Tyler Koch.
So second down and 9 for Kearney at the 20-yard line. Papillion La Vista forced a fumble at the 1-yard line on Kearney's opening possession. Now wide left is Hunter King, Schreiner slot left. Trey Anderson to the right side. They will send Schreiner in motion. And McNitt, option to the left side. He'll make the pitch to Lundgren. Good seal block on the corner to the 15. Steps out of that one and is tripped up at the 13-yard line. Very close to the first down. Going to be just short, it looks like.
Boy, good read on the option by McNitt. Waited until the very, very last moment.
No, he's going to have it. They're going to mark him at the 12, Tony. He got the 9 that he needed. Nice job by Lundgren.
Well, he did have one more hop on the outside, Doug, after his legs got taken out from under him. He kind of caught his balance and then was able to jump ahead for a little bit extra.
So that'll bring up first down and 10 at the 11-yard line. Clock running with a minute 14 to go here in the first quarter of play at Foster Field. Doug Duda, Tony Davis, glad to have you along with us here on Classic Hits. And McNitt. Again, out of that shotgun, going to go quarterback draw, makes the first man miss, and then he is stood up. They get him around the legs, then they get him around the waist, and then he's going to be brought down after a short gain.
I don't like that, Doug. He stood up. The whistle had to blown for 3 seconds there, and somebody just comes flying in out of the blue.
But they didn't hit Luke. They hit a kid that was trying to block Luke.
Well, he gets slammed to the ground regardless in a pile.
No gain on the play. Second down and 10 at the 11-yard line. So they're on to McNitt carrying the football. It looks like Carney's going to have to be successful through the air. Trips to the right side. Anderson to the left. McNitt looks right. He's going to throw to Schreiner out of the backfield. He gets to the 5-yard line and will get to the 4.5. And it looks like maybe a face mask to add on to this one.
Yeah, real easy call. The official is about 3 yards from that play. And he drops his flag right there. I mean, regardless, it's going to be half the distance of goal, so it'll be a first down, right?
We'll wait to see what the officials tell us here, whether it was a 5-yard or a 15-yard personal foul. Either way, it's going to be half the distance, so I guess it doesn't matter. The yardage-wise, it'll take it to about the 2, in between the 2 and maybe the about the 2-yard line. Put the ball on the right hash. 14 seconds to go here. That's the first penalty of this football game. First and goal at the 2 here for the Bearcats. McNitt out of the shotgun wants to run it around the left side, and he is going to be hit as he gets to the 1, stretches the ball over the goal line, and is into the end zone. Lechtenberg hit him hard but didn't get him to the ground, and Luke McNitt, a 2-yard touchdown run to put Kearney on the board.
Yeah, that's, you know, if you carry the ball twice as much as anybody else on the team, that's Luke McNitt. They know he's going to carry the ball. They just couldn't stop him from 2 yards out there. Good play for the Bearcats.
So Spencer Lindsay now to try and tie the ball game up here with the extra point. The holder is Nate Stevens. The snap is good. The hold is good. The kick is away, and it is good. And with 8 seconds to go in the first quarter of play, Kearney 7, Papillion-La Vista 7. We'll be back with the kickoff right after this on Classic Hits.
Congratulations, you've won $1 million from Publishers.
Hey, move out of the way. Is that a Valentino's delivery truck going down the street? I didn't know they delivered. Hey, guys, Valentino's delivers.
it's the next best thing to enjoying Valentino's famous Grand Italian Buffet. Now delivery of pizza, pasta, and salads. Just a call away, 308-233-3888. That's 233-3888. Better than $1 million.
High kick, and it will be returnable. Take it at the 13-yard line, 15, 20, and to the 25-yard line. Good tackle in there by the Bearcats on the return from number 17, Scott Lux.
That Tyler Gillen right there. You know, if you're going to kick it that short, Doug, but it's very, very high. Let's those guys run down there and get great coverage on that kick.
Crete 8, Elkhorn South, nothing late first quarter. Late first quarter, Adams Central 14, Gehring 7. And this will be the final play of the first quarter for Papillion-La Vista. First down and 10. Moore's in at quarterback, fakes the pass, wants to run. The Bearcats are ready for him. The Bearcats make the tackle. Daniel Benavides in there to drop him at the 29-yard line, a 2-yard gain. And that will be the end of the first quarter of play. Your score in the Class A state playoffs at Foster Field, Kearney 7, Papillion-La Vista 7. We'll be back with more football after this break.
Athletes come in all shapes and sizes, and Kearney Orthopedic and Sports Medicine specializes in getting them all back in their game. From swinging a hammer to swinging a golf club, whether tackling daily tasks or tackling the running back, see Kearney Orthopedic and Sports Medicine Clinic. If you're suffering from any injury that's putting you on the sidelines, make an appointment today and take comfort in our care. Kearney Orthopedic and Sports Medicine.
It's hard to believe, but football and volleyball season are beginning to wind down. And Misco Sports, on the breaks of the downtown Kearney Center, wants to get you ready for the postseason by closing out all of their football and volleyball apparel and equipment, now 30% off. Misco's also has Cutters football gloves at 35% off. And don't forget this month, a great deal on shoes, sandals, basketball shoes, whatever you could put on your feet, up to 50% off. And don't forget the football and volleyball closeout, 30% off all apparel and equipment now at Misco's.
Second down for Papillion-La Vista, and back into the football game is going to be the quarterback, Alec Dottero. Quick swing out to the left side and a late penalty flag as the run goes up near the 40, and we may see some more face masks out here.
Yeah, it's a very high tackle, and anytime they go around the head, it looks like these guys are just going to call that. And I'm not sure he had the face mask. You know, it was a high tackle, though, and the guy was standing a lot closer than we were, so tough to question. It's a 5-yard face mask.
And Dottero with a 10-yard completion, fifth first down for Papillion-La Vista. And a 5-yard face mask penalty. We'll move the ball out to the 45-yard line, first down and 10. Again, they've been switching up their quarterbacks. Trey Moore, who's more of a runner. Dottero, who's obviously way more of a passer. Five wideouts here now with an empty backfield for Dottero. On first down and 10, three-step drop, throws it underneath, complete at the 47-yard line, and getting to the 50 and into Kearney territory at the 49 is Scott Lux. Gain of 6.
Yeah, right there, Brueggemann grabs him and holds on tight, and then Benavides comes over to stop him right there. But are we using the old school, old style first down markers over there? You can't hardly see him. We've never had that problem this whole year, Kearney football.
Must be a dirty window. Here's a swing pass down the left side that's going to be completed to the hands of Sheard. And Sheard goes down the sidelines for a first down to the 42-yard line.
Isaac Brown in on the stop for the Bearcats. But those quick, you know, obviously they want the Bearcats to come up into the press coverage, something the Bearcats not real comfortable doing. When they do that, they'll try and do those, and they will release and try and get somebody deep.
Grand Island out to a 7-0 lead over Columbus in the first quarter. Dottero back to pass, has some time, hit as he throws, going down the left sideline, and it is incomplete, but we've got penalty flags on the play, and it looks like they might get Kearney for holding here. The coverage trying to get it to Lux, Caden Brueggemann, And they threw a couple underneath to Lux, and then this time it was a little hitch and go, and it looks like they're going to get the penalty called. Defensive holding on Kearney.
Well, that time McNitt's in playing defense. He came on a linebacker blitz on the left side of the right side of the offensive formation, and he drilled DeToro right as he threw the football.
So that's the first time Kearney's really got any pressure on the quarterback. And it is a 10-yard penalty here in the high school ranks for defensive holding and another first down. So first and 10 at the Bearcat 33-yard line, 11.5 to go here in the second quarter. We're tied at 7 between Kearney and Papillion La Vista. The winner will take on Lincoln Southwest next Friday night. If it's Kearney, it'll be in Lincoln. If it's Papillion, it'll be at Papillion La Vista's field on Friday night. First down and 10, DeToro still the quarterback, empty backfield, looking left, has time, throws underneath. The pass is caught but out of bounds that time by Lux. It'll bring up second down and 10.
Yeah, pass thrown just a little bit too high to really go up and make a play on the football. Lux realized that and said, okay, we'll get him again here on second down.
I don't know if it's the weather or if it's just a late-arriving crowd, but not near as many folks here at Foster Field tonight as we've seen in the past for a playoff game here for Kearney High. That 11 o'clock start time got him to Lincoln early. Quarterback draw this time by DeToro, and he's going to get to the 29-yard line and be hit there. 4-yard gain.
Yeah, right there, Daniel Benavides, one of the first people there, been very active tonight on the defense for the Bearcats.
DeToro doesn't run it very often. That's usually when they bring Trey Moore in there, but now a big play for the Bearcats. See if they can make him punt. Again, empty backfield. 5 wideouts here for DeToro, 3rd and 6 at the 28-yard line. Back to pass. Here comes the blitz. Throws it underneath. Complete at the 25. Turns the corner to about the 23-yard line where he's run out of bounds. And that should not be enough for the first down. Should be short.
It looks like it's going to be very, very close from where that marker is, though. Yep, they're not going to measure. It is a first down.
Well, our board must have been wrong up here at the stadium, because if that was 6 yards to go, they barely got 5, but that's fine. It's enough for a first down here for the Monarchs and move the chains again, 1st and 10 at the 22-yard line. Down the field they go. DeToro, pump fake, hit as he throws. That one's floating up in the air, and out of bounds it goes. Incomplete.
Grady Kowalski, as soon as – it's one of those, if you'd have been a half a second, who knows, the ball could have came out of there. Or, it would certainly been a sack if it didn't, if he was able to hold on to it. But Kowalski really put a good hit on it. Now, this DeToro is only a 160-pound sophomore, so can't imagine he wants to get hit like that very much.
Aurora 13, Norris 7 at the end of the first. And they'll go right side with it. Nowhere to go here on second down and 10. Back to the original line of scrimmage, and that'll be it.
Now, McNitt was the first man there. Coming off the left side of the defensive line, or from a defensive end outside linebacker position, they're flying up and grabbing him in the back of the jersey and bringing him down.
Yeah, McNitt usually doesn't necessarily start on defense, but if they're going to have to go with all these wideouts, they've got to put a few more defensive backs into the football game. 3rd down and 10 for Papillion at the 22-yard line of the Bearcats. DeToro, quarterback draw, and he is going to be drilled over the right side as he got to the 20, and that's going to bring up 4th down and about 8 yards to go.
Now, Benavides, he kept trying to spin off of Benavides, but he would not.
And there was a flag that came out for a hold. Interesting to see what Coach Brandon Cool wants to do. He could force them into a 37-yard field goal attempt right here, or he could make it 3rd down and 20.
I think he'd decline this and make them kick it from there.
The way they throw the football, and it will be declined. So Kearney is rolling the dice here. DeToro goes nowhere on the play, maybe a yard they're going to say, and that'll bring up 4th down and 9 yards to go. And Coach Govier may have to burn a timeout here, talking with his troops, but while they were marking the ball, it took him a while to run the clock, so they have plenty of time on the play clock. 2 minutes into the second quarter, tied at 7. They're going to line up to go for it here on 4th down and 9. So will the decision to decline the holding penalty pay off here for the Bearcats? DeToro in the empty backfield, trips left, twins right, looks left all the way, throws for the post pattern in the end zone. Some contact, the ball is caught, touchdown. Just a jump ball out there in the corner of the end zone for the touchdown.
And now they're going to get an unsportsmanlike conduct penalty on Tyler, or on, excuse me, Luke McNitt. Well, he just threw a jump ball down there, and it was Isaac Brown, never got turned around to play the ball, and the receiver goes up and brings it down, and it's 6 points for the Monarchs.
Bryce Sheard hauls in the touchdown. Dead ball unsportsmanlike on Kearney, and that will be enforced on the kickoff. So that will probably allow them to boot the ball into the end zone. Right now, Hoynes lines up to attempt the extra point. 13-7, Papillion La Vista with 9:37 to go here in the first half. Hoynes will put the extra point up and through. 14-7, Papillion La Vista, opening round of the Class A state playoffs at Foster Field. Here on Classic Hits, we'll be right back.
Family Physical Therapy knows everyone has an ow. Once in a while, you might sustain an injury during competition or strain your knee or back doing chores at home. Your job now is to come up with a story to tell your friends.
Yeah, I was kickboxing in Japan.
It's Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center's shot to get you back to the game of life. There's one near you in Kearney, Ravenna, Minden, Elm Creek, Franklin, Lexington, and now Wood River. If you have an ow, tell your doctor you want Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center to rehab you back to the game of life.
Do you have trouble hearing the radio? How about the phone or TV? Are you avoiding social situations because of a hearing loss? If so, see ENT Physicians of Kearney and Family Hearing Center to learn more about the hearing aid products and services we provide. Or visit us at entphysiciansofkearney.com. Caring for our community, one patient at a time. We're ENT Physicians of Kearney and Family Hearing Center.
Oh, Stace, sorry. Ready? Well, with the penalty being assessed on the kickoff, they just line it up at the Bearcat 45 and boot it into the end zone. So it'll be first down and 10, Kearney, and they'll have it at the 20-yard line. Omaha Central leading Lincoln East 35-7 in the third. Millard North on top of Omaha Burke 7-2. Grand Island had the first touchdown against Columbus. Lincoln Southeast leads Creighton Prep 21-0 in the first quarter. Millard West 7-3 over Millard South. McCook 24-0 over Alliance on our Valentino's scoreline. Over the Grand Italian Buffet, the Bearcats and Luke McNitt. He's going to hand it off on the end around to Lundgren, who'll get to the 25-yard line. Good play on first down to get half of what you need.
Yeah, excellent job by Caleb Lundgren on the outside, just dropping his shoulder. And he knew it wasn't going to be a big game, but, hey, take what they give you, and five's better than the Bearcats have been getting some first downs here.
Adams Central 17, Gehring 7 at the end of the first quarter of play. Aurora 13, Norris 7 at the end of the first quarter of play. World Series, top of the second, it's already 2-2. McNitt swings it out to the right side, complete, up the right side to the 25, 26, 27. Line to get the play from Coach Brandon Cool. He might have caught one of the ribs, the left arm, the left rib, and it's a little cool out there, so let's see what they call here. I would imagine this is going to be a run play. If Luke's a little dinged up, you probably want to hand the ball off. First down and 10, and McNitt will hand the ball off up the middle to Caleb Lundgren, and Lundgren gets to the line of scrimmage, and that's it. It'll be second down and 10. Kearney has just not been very successful running the ball between the tackles against competitive teams this year.
No, that's one thing they just haven't been able to do, and that's why your quarterback tries to bounce thing outside and run the option, and they try and get him open in a little bit of space.
Lundgren, 568 coming into the game, less than McNitt's 760 on the ground. Second down and 10. Trips to the right side, single to the left. McNitt wants to throw. There's that little slant, and it's going to be complete to Spencer Lindsay. 37, maybe they'll give him the 38-yard line, but it'll be third down. And there's a little scrap in the backfield as Logan Worth and his opposition there for the Monarchs were about 10 yards deep in the backfield.
Genovese, once again, they've had a couple tussles here.
7-yard completion for McNitt, and it'll be third down and 3 here for Kearney. 14-7, Papillion La Vista, just under 7 minutes to go in the first half of the opening round of the Class A state football playoffs here on KKPR-FM, Kearney, Hastings, and Grand Island. McNitt out of the shotgun. Quick swing to the right side. It's picked off in the flat, and this will be a touchdown if McNitt can't make the tackle, and he does make the tackle inside the 15-yard line, anticipated over there by Nick Lechtenberg.
Wow, he just jumped that route right in the middle of that passing lane, and there was nothing the Bearcats could do about it. As soon as Luke McNitt released the football, he took off on an angle because he knew, uh-oh, we got a problem here.
So interception on the play, and this sets up great field position. Second turnover for Kearney, and they're going to mark the ball at the 14-yard line. For Papillion La Vista, trips to the right side, and it's going to be Moore as the quarterback. He'll keep it over the right side, not get much in on the ankle tackle as Daniel Benavides get a couple to the 12.
With Benavides really impressed here in this first half, Doug. You know, we did the game last week, did another game during the year. Benavides really showing up here in the first half.
Plenty of time, 6:15 and counting. In this first half of play, it's 14-7 in favor of Papillion La Vista. And they're knocking on the door after the INT. Second down and 8. Moore the quarterback. Rice is off to his right side. Tight bunch bubble formation to the right side. Toss sweep. Rice to the right side. Gets to the 10-yard line. And the Bearcats are doing a good job of trying to hem him in. He again kind of gets loose there momentarily but didn't get up the field. Almost broke free from the gang tackle. He'll get to the 10. Two more on the play, 3rd and 6.
Bearcats, remember when they tried to bounce out Rice and we went for the touchdown down the other end of the field. They said we got to keep him in the middle of the field where we got some help.
Papillion La Vista converted 4th and 9 when they went for it at the 21-yard line. Now they've got a 3rd and 6 at the Bearcat 10. And they put DeToro back in at quarterback, 5 wide this time. He'll look left, pump fake, going to the corner of the end zone on another post route, but he overthrows the intended receiver, Brueggemann, on the coverage for Kearney High, trying to get that to their ace back, Scott Lux. And now it's 4th down and goal, and it looks like this time they're going to send in the field goal unit. 3 for 3, 3 field goals is all they have made on the season.
Good coverage, though, down the field by Brueggemann.
So a field goal attempt of what should be about 27 yards here. And Hoynes the man to do it. 3 for 3 on the year, but as long as 30 yards. That's probably why they didn't attempt it the last time. This is about his range. And the field goal kick is up, and it is toward the left upright, and it is no good. It is wide left. So Hoynes misses his first field goal of the year with 5:11 to go here in the first half. It's Papillion La Vista 14, Kearney 7. And the Bearcats get away with one there, not giving up any points on that turnover.
Yeah, you know what? Goes back to you got your quarterback, makes a mistake, but got enough field presence to know I'm the only one that can run him down and save a touchdown. He goes out, takes a great angle, makes a tackle. Then your defense steps up. That's a huge turning point for the Bearcats. That could have been disaster right there.
Another area score with 8 minutes to go in the first half. Aurora 20, Norris 14. First and 10 Bearcats at their own 20-yard line, trailing 14-7. with 5:11 to go in the first half of play. McNitt drops back to pass, trying to set one up deep down the middle of the field, and incomplete. There's contact, and there's no flag. Trying to get it to Spencer Lindsay. The Monarch defensive back went for the pick and knocked Lindsay off his feet, but they say the ball was already there, and it'll be second down. Very rare shot down the field by Kearney High.
Once again, the Kearney coaching staff not happy about the no call down the field. They're saying there was contact, and if it's been explained, you know, it's been explained to us. Anytime there's contact down the middle of the field, you know, anywhere down the field when the ball's in the air, it doesn't matter if he's going for the football. It's pass interference in high school.
Second down and 10. Spread the field again with four wide. This time McNitt will hand it off to Lundgren. Bounces to the outside. Shakes a tackle. 25, 30, and should have a Bearcat first down. Marked out of bounds right short of the 30. 29 and three-quarter yard line in front of the Monarch bench over there. And so it'll be third and a half yard for the Bearcats.
That did a good job of keeping his balance over there. It looked like he had a chance to bounce one more time. He would have been down the sidelines.
Coming up in half, the Ravenna Sanitation Halftime Report. We'll run down the first half stats, look at some scores from across the state of Nebraska, talk about what's coming up in the second round in classes C and D. Tomorrow, the GNAC Volleyball Tournament. We'll talk about that as well, and Kearney High is going to call a timeout. It'll be the first timeout of the ball game by either team. 4:57 to go, first half here in this opening round of the Class A state playoffs at Foster Field. Papillion La Vista 14, Kearney 7.
Attention football fans, it's that time of year again when the competition is heating up. If you want to be the ultimate tailgate grilling master, you need a Traeger wood pellet grill. You could be making bacon and biscuits before a morning game, pizza and hamburgers before the afternoon game, or take your time and enjoy smoking ribs or pork tenderloin before that evening game. The grill that can do it all, check out the new Traeger Junior Tailgate model. Stop grilling, start Traegering at Builders in Kearney.
Builders does the best.
Well, Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center provides you our injury report, and we did have one earlier in the ball game, Tony, to Nate Stevens.
Well, he just jogged out of the locker room. He's standing right down by Coach Lathrop right now on the sidelines. He's kind of jumping around. Looks like he may be able to come back into this ball game.
Yeah, but he doesn't have a helmet.
No, his helmet's still over on the bench. They just
third down and one here for Kearney High at their own 29-yard line, and they still run out of that shotgun formation. And McNitt going to drop back to pass here out of the timeout. He's under pressure, going to throw it back against the grain, complete for a first down to Derek Schreiner. That's what they wanted all along. The pressure was coming after him, and McNitt had to actually roll to his right, threw back to the left, and it's going to be just enough for the first down here. Only a couple of yards on that pass completion, but it moves the chains, and if Kearney High, even if for some reason they don't score, they can run a lot more time off the clock. Don't let Papillion La Vista have the ball back with any time.
Yeah, I think Trey Priest about gave up on it, thinking, well, he's going the other way, and might have lulled him a little bit to sleep.
And now Lundgren to the left side of McNitt. McNitt back to pass. Pump fake wants to go deep into double coverage down the sideline for Trey Anderson and overthrows him. That was well covered there by Jalen Allison and Nick Lechtenberg of the Monarchs.
And Lechtenberg's been all over the place on the defense. You know, a lot of good players in Class A football. He's amongst them, though.
Taking a look at some other scores that we haven't told you about. Class B, let's see, 8-0 Crete with an early lead. Elkhorn over Scott, 21-7, 6 minutes to go in the second quarter. Grand Island had an early lead on Columbus, but nothing since that 7-0 have we been reported to. McNitt over the middle, and it's intercepted again. 30-yard line, and being brought down there at the 31-yard line is Ethan Humphrey. McNitt didn't even see the middle linebacker, and that is the third Bearcat turnover of the half.
Yeah, that's what the coaching staff for the Monarchs is trying to do. Jeff Govey, you're not happy with those slant passes. The Bearcats completed about three of them on the opening drive when they went down and scored. Govier was just screaming at his defensive backs. Well, they corrected that, and he just steps in another passing lane right there.
So 4:27 to go in the first half. First and 10, Papillion La Vista at the Kearney 31-yard line. DeToro, the quarterback, the thrower of the two. He'll go underneath to his tailback. Rice gets a block around the right side. 30, 20, 15, 10, 5. Touchdown, Papillion La Vista.
Trey Anderson's got his hands up at the official saying, I was trying to make the tackle, but somebody grabbed me and brought me to the ground.
20-7, Papillion La Vista. One play this time to take advantage of the turnover. They missed a field goal on the last Kearney turnover to come away with no points. It ends up setting up what happened here, the short field, because Kearney had it at the 20. And now Hoynes in to attempt the extra point.
Speed kills, Doug. Rice just showed it again.
And the snap. Perfect. Hoynes' kick is on the way, and it is good. 4:17 to go here in the first half of play. Now Papillion La Vista 21, Kearney 7. We're back after this on Classic Hits.
Today, more and more people are insuring their homes with us through Auto Owners Insurance. I'm Dave Challey at Barney Insurance. We'll provide low-cost, quality protection, claim service second to none, and if you insure both your home and car through Auto Owners Insurance, you'll qualify for additional premium discounts. Stop by or give us a call at 237-2222. We're Barney Insurance.
Time is the true test of endurance. Barney Insurance.
With our producer-engineer Stacy Johns and Tony Davis, Doug Duda back with you here on a crisp night at Foster Field that just got a little chillier for the Bearcat fans. They're down 21-7 now after a one-play drive following the Ethan Humphrey interception.
Doug, you know, once that Rice gets to the outside, he's very, very fast. If he gets a corner, he's gone.
Kearney needs something here out of their special teams as the ball is booted back to the 5-yard line on the far hash, up the field to the 10, the 15, and not going to make the 20-yard line that time on the return, Caleb Lundgren, and it'll be deep in Bearcat territory. Still 4:11 to go here in the first half of play, and Kearney trailing 21-7.
Which are the Bearcats here. You know, you throw the ball, you stop the clock. I mean, I think it would be devastating here to give Papillion back the ball the way they've been moving it on you and go up by three scores.
And Kearney will get the ball to start the second half. They won the toss. They deferred. As always, a big thank you to the many fine sponsors that allow us to bring you high school sports throughout the year. Into the postseason, sub-district volleyball Monday, second round of the C&D State playoffs Wednesday. If the Bearcats win into the quarterfinals next Friday. But now they've got some work to do. First and 10 at their own 19-yard line. McNett going to hand it off, and it goes absolutely nowhere. In fact, they're going to lose some yards on the inside handoff. Yeah, as Lundgren, no success there. A loss of 2 to the 17.
Yeah, it was a whole defensive line right there, and Utter was the first man there, number 78. They list him at 300. The coaches say he's closer to 315. He's a monster up there.
I think he was the guy leading the Maryland eye when they were backed up at their own 2-yard line. It is 24-0, Creed over Elkhorn South. Beatrice leads Blair at the half, 7-6. And before this play can get developed, we've got a penalty flag, which usually means bad things for the offense. But let's find out what our side judge says. It's going to be defensive encroachment. And a 5-yard penalty here against Papillion La Vista.
Well, that gets you back to second and 7, lets you do more multiple things. Probably takes you out of that throwing deal you'd had to do at second and 12.
Just the second penalty that I have for Papillion La Vista here in the first half of play.
Probably going to run that quarterback draw or try and bounce McNitt outside on that option play again.
Tri-City Storm Hockey. 1-1 after the first period with the Phantoms of Youngstown, currently airing on the Breeze 94.5, second and 7, McNitt. He's going to hand it to Lundgren off the right side, and he just runs into a wall. The defensive line, interior of the defensive line here, is really doing the job for Papillion La Vista, and Lundgren just absolutely nowhere to go. It'll be third down and 7.
Yeah, we'll see if Papillion takes a timeout here. They're shuffling kids in, and they said, wait a minute, hold on, we got the right personnel out there. So Kearney's content to let this clock run and run here.
Now, the Bearcats need to get a first down here. Then they would be able to do whatever they want the rest of the half here, run the clock out, try and get something going downfield. Third down and 7 at their own 22 with 2.5 to go before halftime. Down 21-7, the Bearcats. McNitt back to pass, has time, throws it over the middle, and it is intercepted again right into the hands of Nick Lechtenberg. 25-20-15, runs a man over to the 5 and all the way to the house. Lechtenberg with a 22-yard pick six. It's going to be more like a 35-yard pick six. And just like that, it's 27-7.
Yeah, it was Caleb Lundgren, the man that he just put the stiff arm to the face and said, excuse me, I'm coming through. He's been all over on the defense. We said his name several times the first half. He has been all over Lechtenberg for six.
Going to call it about a 34-yard interception return, and Hoynes in there now to attempt the extra point. And the snap down, the kick is on its way, and that one is just inside the left upright, and good. So, with 2:14 to go in the first half of play, it is now Papillion La Vista 28, Kearney 7 on Classic Hits.
Honey, hurry. We need to finish loading up the trash. The dump closes in 30 minutes.
Don't let trash take up time in your busy schedule. Let Ravenna Sanitation take care of all your trash needs. At Ravenna Sanitation, they take trash seriously. They're there to be your trash collection connection. If you need trash removal from your home, business, or farm, Ravenna Sanitation is the quality, dependable trash hauling service that you've been looking for. Ravenna Sanitation, serving all of Buffalo County.
Fourth turnover for Kearney. Three of them have been interceptions. And there's still 2:14 to go here in the half. I'll say it again. Bearcats need something out of the special teams right here. As the kick is away, this will be a short one. That'll be returnable. Taken at the 15-yard line. Up the field, 20. King to the 25. Goes down to a hand. Great run. 30, 35, 40. And that's where he'll be brought out of bounds. They tried to swipe him around the ankles, and he put his hand on the ground, swiveled, and went for another 20 up the field. And there is a nice, nice return that will give the Bearcats a chance to maybe move their offense here. But now you got to be skeptical. Luke McNitt has to be snake bit. His last two passes have been interceptions. Out of his last six passes, Tony, I have him 1 of 6 for 2 yards and 3 picks.
Ooh. Doug, and only 4 picks coming into this game on the season. So now 7 picks.
But you can't stop. You got to go. It's 28-7. You need to make something happen here before the half. The Bearcats have their timeouts. Here comes a blitz. McNitt's going to run it up the middle of the field, 45-47-yard line. Gain is 7 on the play.
Pretty good job by McNitt. It looked like there was a big, big hole. If he breaks one tackle there, he's got a chance. Doug, there's nobody in the middle of the field.
They blitz the linebacker, Lechtenberg, from the right side. And when you run the gap right next to the blitz, which McNitt did, if you can get through that line, then that's where the linebacker's coming from. And you're right, you can have a huge play. Second down and 4 yards to go. McNitt going to run it again. And this time, he just doesn't get the blocking, and he's going to be stood up for a gain of maybe 1.
I think, you know, I know you got Lindsay, and if you get 20 yards down the field, you know, Coach Cool saying, let's hurry it up a little bit. 1:15, the clock continues to move here.
Third down and 3 yards to go here for the Bearcats. Out wide to the right. Twins out there. Slot is going to be Spencer Lindsay. McNitt now back to the air. Here comes the blitz. Set up the screen. He'll go to Lundgren, and Lundgren will get the first down across midfield, and right at that first down marker should have it to the 49-yard line of Papillion La Vista.
Well, Utter comes from behind, Doug, and that's a great tackle for a 300-pound defensive tackle. Catching him from behind just lays out and wraps him up.
54 seconds to go here in the first half, and the clock runs now. All their timeouts. Bearcats need some points. They'll throw it out here in the flat for a short little gain that's pushed out of bounds. Derek Schreiner at the 44-yard line, so they get 5 and stop the clock.
Notice how they keep everybody in front of them. Pillion saying, you know what, we'll give you 4 or 5 yards here and here and there, but we're not going to go up in a press coverage so you can run past us.
Bearcats with 4 wideouts again, this time trips to the left side. They really haven't went to Trey Anderson one-on-1. They'll swing it out here to Schreiner in the flat. Gets to the 40 and tripped up down to the 39-yard line. And Kearney wants to call their first timeout right here. Going to be a gain of 7 on the play. They'll give him the 38-yard line. And it'll be the second timeout, excuse me, for Kearney. Second timeout. They had to use one earlier, so they'll have 1 remaining. Stop the clock. Well, no.
They stopped the clock to move the chains, I think.
Well, they gave them the first down. Okay, my bad. Enough to move the chains. First down, so they'll still have those timeouts. I thought the official over here was signaling for a Bearcat timeout. Pass into the air on the wheel route, and Schreiner wasn't there, and I think McNitt was throwing that one away.
Yeah, he had to throw it away because there was pressure coming. They had blitzes coming from both sides, and nobody was really open down the field.
Grand Island 28-0 over Columbus.
That's, you know, that's a team that had to get that. You know, they thought they were very, very capable of winning that game last week in the district championship and getting back after it. And they're certainly doing it the way they want to do it tonight.
Second and 10 Bearcats at the Monarch 38-yard line. And now they have to call a timeout on defense. So we'll take one with them. Papillion-La Vista 28, Kearney 7. Bearcats trying to get some points on the board before halftime. We'll be right back.
At ENT Physicians of Kearney, we put patients first. Doctors Connolly and Owen have provided unsurpassed care to adults and children with problems and diseases related to the ear, nose, and throat. To learn more about our practice and the services we provide, please visit our website at entphysiciansofkearney.com. Caring for our community, one patient at a time. We're ENT Physicians of Kearney and Family Hearing Center.
And welcome back to Foster Field. As always, I want to say a big thank you to Athletic Director Mark Armstrong, Rich Broderson at UNK, and everyone for their hospitality as we bring you Kearney Playoff Football Night on KKPR-FM, Kearney, Minden, Holdridge, and the World Wide Web at PlatteRiverPreps.com. 31 seconds to go before the Ravenna Sanitation halftime report. Papillion-La Vista 28-7, scoring 14 points in 2 minutes worth of time here, and doing it in the last 3.5 minutes, took it from 14-7 to 28-7 on one play run by pass by DeToro and a 34-yard interception returned by Lechtenberg. McNitt back to pass. Here comes the pressure. Steps up. Has to run the football. 35-30. Room down the right sideline. 25. Stays in bounds. 20. 15. 10. 5. Touchdown, McNitt.
Doug, that's one of those highlight plays. You don't realize it. There's nobody for him to throw it to. They got people coming once again from both ends, and it's not a design quarterback draw, but ends up looking like a great design quarterback draw. He broke, what, three tackles? He hopped over people. He did it all by himself.
At the 20-yard line, it looked like it was time to run out of bounds and save time on the clock when he leapt in the air. But that's one of the very, very few times that the Monarchs have not made it, been able to make a tackle. And a 38-yard touchdown run gets Kearney some new life here before half. Lindsay now for the PAT. It's on the way towards the locker room, and it is good. 20 seconds to go here in the first half of play. Papillion-La Vista 28 and Kearney 14. We'll keep it right here. Tony, the Bearcats, big kick return by King to get this thing started.
Which
or Lundgren, excuse
you
me,
said.
The, or King, it was King, right? To get the thing started here. Nice little put the hand on the ground, spun down the left sideline, and then McNitt able to get a highlight reel play right there and make it 28-14. And remember, Kearney gets the ball to start the second half. So all they have to do is get a good kick coverage here and make darn sure that they don't get beat deep down the field. I would think Papillion-La Vista would just run the clock and get into halftime. But that is a huge, huge, huge series there for the Bearcats.
May have just saved the Bearcats' season. I think you go in down by three scores. I don't care if you get the ball or not. It's just a long, long, it's just really upward. There's a big hill to climb, obviously. But the two scores makes it at least when you're getting the ball first, you go in the locker room, regroup a little bit, and come out and do some good things. I think you're back in this thing.
Well, we expected this to be a high-scoring football game. Most of Papillion-La Vista's, well, they all have been. 20-17 last week, the lowest scoring game they had all year. 28-14 here at the half, we think. We'll find out as Lindsay kicks it away. It's kind of a pooch kick that might go out of bounds. It'll be fielded at the 25-yard line. And breaking one tackle and two to the 30-yard line is going to be Jack Kalina. And then he finally goes down. So Kearney wanted to pooch it towards the sidelines. I don't think they really cared if it went out of bounds. But they made Papillion-La Vista field it. Great kick by Lindsay. 12 seconds to go here before the half. Let's see what Coach Govier does. And let's see which quarterback he runs out there in Moore or DeToro. And it's going to be Alec DeToro. So maybe they will take a shot down the field, because I would think you'd bring more in if you were just going to run out the clock. The ball, the empty backfield, trips right, Twins left. DeTero with the ball at the 32, and he's going to throw an inside screen here to Sheard. Sheard to the 40, up the middle, 45, 50, look out, 45, 40. Lindsey's going to shove him out of bounds at the 33-yard line with 1 second on the clock. Where's the home clock on that one, Tony?
Yeah, that's what I was just going to say. Craig Brandon Cool's looking up at the press box saying, can you get this second off of here? Obviously, they thought they'd get a broken coverage. So they throw that and say, hey, we get a big play. We can take a shot at the end zone. That's exactly what they can do now.
Yeah, that's exactly what they wanted to do. And a timeout will be called here by Papillion La Vista. Each team has one remaining. And definitely, DeTero has the arm to get the ball into the end zone. 1 second to go here in the first half. Kearney's got to get the stop here if they want to have a chance, I believe, in the second half. A 36-yard pass completion down to the Bearcat 33-yard line. It was really only about a 10-yard, maybe 8-yard slant pattern coming from left to right. And then the wide receiver, Bryce Sheard, who had the touchdown earlier in the ball game, cut it back to his left, and Spencer Lindsey had to track him down and push him out of bounds at the Bearcat 33.
Before the game, DeToro and Kalina were playing catch on the sideline. They're throwing the ball 40 yards. That's a sophomore and a freshman just effortlessly throwing the ball 40 yards, just kind of on a half run, half jog, just flinging it out there. So certainly the arm is to get it there, and they'll go for the they're going to go to the regular formation, five wide receivers.
Well, Bearcats have to play some prevent, but they've also got to be careful not to let the quick speed underneath beat him to the end zone. They happened against Southwest. Here they go. DeTero with plenty of time. Now the pressure breaks down, and he is going to be sacked. So the Bearcats got to him and brought him down back at the 35-yard line, and that is how the first half will end. So he was not able to get the ball away, and that is a big sigh of relief to Kearney Bearcat fans, where at the half in this Class A opening round playoff game, it's Papillion La Vista 28 and Kearney 14.
Pretty, you know what, I guess if you're a Bearcat fan right now, you got to be enthused the way you came back here to get this thing 28-14. Luke McNitt did it on his own at the last run, but this could have been a disaster here going in three scores. But you're getting the ball to start things off. Hey, get some things going at halftime. At least you got a chance to regroup here and come out and reestablish something, because let's be honest, Papillion La Vista has been the better team here this first half.
Well, until Kearney turned the ball over four times here in the first half, you got to be amazed that you're minus four the turnover category right now, and you're still in this football game, only down 14 points at the half, 28-14. We'll talk much more about it on the Ravenna Sanitation Halftime Report. Give me the stats. Run down other scores across the state. Talk a little volleyball and more after this timeout on Classic Hits.
The most recommended by far, Eustace Body Shop. That's who we are. Put your car or truck back to factory specs. Free estimates from certified techs. When you need a tow, we're the ones to know. The most recommended Eustace Body Shop, that's who we are.
It's hard to believe, but football and volleyball season are beginning to wind down. And Misco Sports, on the brakes of the downtown Kearney Center, wants to get you ready for the postseason by closing out all of their football and volleyball apparel and equipment, now 30% off. Misco's also has Cutter's football gloves at 35% off. And don't forget this month, a great deal on shoes, sandals, basketball shoes, whatever you could put on your feet, up to 50% off. And don't forget the football and volleyball closeout, 30% off all apparel and equipment now at Misco's.
And with producer-engineer Stacy Johns, I'm Doug Duda back here at Foster Field. Halftime of the Class A state playoffs, and it is Papillion La Vista 28, Kearney 14. This is the Ravenna Sanitation Halftime Report Ravenna Sanitation says your trash is our treasure. Serving Buffalo County for business or residential service, Ravenna Sanitation, your trash collection connection. Find them in your local yellow pages. And let's go ahead and start halftime by looking at some of the other scores from across the state. We had two finals from earlier today, one directly affecting the ball game participants here. Lincoln Southwest defeating Bellevue West by a score of 35-13. Southwest will play the winner of this game next Friday. And in Class B, it was Ralston 14 and Scottsbluff 12. Tony, what else do we have?
In Class A, Lincoln East was falling behind. They got up to a good start, but Omaha Central's roared back 42-14 in that one. Burke has taken a 9-7 lead over Millard North, and Millard North, of course, had to forfeit the games, and really the seeds are a little bit wacky there. Grand Island.
Got some updates, Tony. Let's refresh the scoreboard here. East is behind now 49-14 to Omaha Central. Burke, 9-7 at the half. It is 28-0 Grand Island over Columbus in the second quarter. Lincoln Southeast, a 21-0 lead over Creighton Prep in the third. They were out 21-0 in the first. Millard West leads Millard South 7-3 at the half. In Class B, McCook leading Alliance 24-6 in the third. Adams Central 21-7 over Gehring. And that ball game is just about at halftime. Beatrice 7-6 over Blair at the half. Omaha Scott leading Elkhorn leading Omaha Scott 28-14. It is now at halftime. Norris 21, Aurora 20. Gretna 14, Plattsmouth 3, Crete 24, Elkhorn South nothing. And in the World Series, they go to bottom of the third. The Cardinals 3, the Rangers 2. In college volleyball, number 1 Nebraska loses the first set to Ohio State and then comes back to win in 4, 19-25, 25-22, 19-17. And now, Tony, what I believe will be their toughest match of the season tomorrow night at four-time defending national champion Penn State, who is ranked 8th in the country, who, of course, the Huskers started and played their first ever Big Ten match against in the NU Coliseum last month.
Well, it should be a great, great atmosphere for college volleyball. You know, going there, you knew you were going to play in some hostile places, but they will be excited to entertain the Huskers and see if they can get some retribution for that first game. Nebraska, though, got to be impressed with what the volleyball team has been able to do this year, Doug, because as tough as the Big Ten is, I just think you expected a slip up here or there. They haven't had one.
Well, here at the half, it's Papillion La Vista 28 and Kearney 14. And we'll be back with more on the Ravenna Sanitation Halftime Report after this break.
When I told my buddies my starting quarterback in my fantasy league was going to be Matt Schaub, they all laughed. Well, me and my buddies went to Cunningham's Journal like we do every week, practically the ultimate place for sports fans. You can catch all your players on one of their bajillion screens. Husker football every week, awesome food and drink specials, and the beer's so cold. Anyways, we're watching the game on the 10-foot screen. There was Matt Schaub tearing it up, threw for 3 touchdowns, even ran for one. And guess who's laughing now? So sports fans, there's only one place to be time and time again. That's Cunningham's Journal, downtown Kearney.
It's GMC Truck Month time at Killian Motors of Kearney, and this would be the ideal time for you to check out the best Sierra ever, the 2011 GMC Sierra. If you're a well-qualified buyer, you can get 0% APR for 60 months, plus $1,000 cash allowance and 1 year of Sirius XM satellite radio. For the best selection and huge Truck Month savings, now is the time to get into Killian Motors.
You're headed in the right direction for service savings and selection.
8th and Central, Kearney.
Well, the second round of the Class C and D State High School football playoffs will take place on Wednesday across the state of Nebraska. And here is what will be going on. Norfolk Catholic. You know what, Daddy? We weren't sure why they only won 6-0 against Battle Creek. We knew they were banged up. I didn't realize they were that banged up. Now they travel out to Chadron. And who knows? That game is going to be at 2:30 on Wednesday. Also in the West, Valentine is at Pierce at 2. Boone Central is at Minden at 6. We'll have that game for you on ESPN 1460 and 1550. We'll also be able to have that for you on the web at PlatteRiverPreps.com. Ogallala against Gothenburg. That game will be at 7 o'clock in Gothenburg. And then in the east, Wahoo is at Bishop Newman. David City is at Arlington. Omaha Roncalli is at Columbus Lakeview. And Platteview is at Columbus SCOTUS. In Class C2, we'll have the Kearney Catholic at Blue Hill game right here on Classic Hits 98.9 at 7 o'clock. Elsewhere, Hastings St. Cecilia will travel to Atkinson West Holt at 4. That game will be on 1230 KHAS. Cambridge is at North Platte St. Pat's at 6. And Perkins County will be at Crofton at 2 o'clock. In the east, Lutheran High Northeast is at Aquinas. Elmwood Murdoch is at Tri-County. Hardington Cedar Catholic is at Oakland Craig. And Wilbur Claytonia is at Lincoln Christian. In the D1 playoffs, Shelton at Garden County out in Oshkosh. We'll have that for you on ESPN 1460 and 1550 at 2:30. Also, Alma is at Kennesaw. Burwell at South Loop. They kick off at 6. Overton has a 5 o'clock kickoff at Elgin Pope John. In the east, High Plains is at Pender. West Point Guardian Angels is at Friend. Creighton is at Nebraska Christian. And Freeman is at Bruning Davenport Shickley. And in D2, the West Bracket, Pleasanton is at Medicine Valley at 5:30, and Silva Myrna is at Sargent at 7. SEM is at Bertrand at 6. And we'll start our coverage Wednesday here on Classic Hits with Loomis at O'Neill St. Mary's at 3 o'clock. And, Tony, remember last year, Loomis got the one-point win over an unbeaten O'Neill St. Mary's team, and they're going to try and do it again on Wednesday.
Yeah, that should be one of the great matchups. You know what, along with, I think, Shelton and Garden County should be another great matchup.
8-1 against 9-0. Howells will play at Dodge. Fall City Sacred Heart is at Clarkson. Exeter Milligan is at Pawnee City, who scored in the 70s against about anybody that they play. And probably any class, C and D at least, quarterfinal game, Humphrey St. Francis at Giltner. 6 o'clock on the Breeze, 94.5 FM on Wednesday. Giltner is unbeaten, and they've been making runs to the state semifinals the last few years and getting into the championship game once. St. Francis, their only loss was to Howells, and that was 12-6, and somehow these two teams are playing in the second round of the playoffs, 9-0 versus 8-1.
Yeah, it's one of those that makes it a little bit, you scratch your head when the playoff points are announced, when you don't set your own schedule and state sets your schedule, you're going, wait a minute, this isn't fair right now. Well, that's the way it is, and you got to battle your way through it. You got to beat them sometime. It's just too bad one of these teams probably deserves to go at least one round further.
Well, Giltner was probably definitely hoping to come out west. They would have probably ran into Sargent, but there's a little bit more competition in the east. There's just so many good D2 schools this year.
I was just going to say, the last 2 years, the only team that's beaten Humphrey St. Francis, correct, is Howells? I mean, you know, they've been right there, and Howells, of course, just dominating everybody, including a team which we thought was very, very capable in Sargent.
Also, coming up tomorrow is the GNAC Volleyball Tournament. Kearney High is the number one seed in the tournament, so we'll see if they can hold true to that seed. And then Kearney will begin their district volleyball. They get to make the trip east to Omaha Burke next Wednesday. They are the number two seed. They'll play Millard South, and a win would get them against Omaha Burke the same night. So the whole district played in one night next Wednesday in Omaha for Kearney High. We'll be at Grand Island Northwest for the C-1-8 beginning Monday. Adams Central and Gibbon at 4:45. The winner will play the top seed, Kearney Catholic, at 7:30. And in between, Minden and St. Paul will battle at 6 o'clock. And then the winners out of that five down to two Tuesday at 7 o'clock. Minden and Kearney Catholic both in the top four in the C-1 state rankings. And Grand Island Central Catholic, Sandy Creek, and Fillmore Central all on the other side. So definitely six teams that started in the top 10 of the preseason in that district.
Yeah, and obviously only four of those, if you count the two wild cards, right, would be able to advance. So certainly going to be volleyball teams getting left out of state, kind of like the Giltner deal. There's teams that are going to end their season that aren't going to be able to advance probably as far as they should, but then again, what do? Until you change the rules, that's the rules you're playing by.
We are here at the half, and your score, Papillion La Vista 28 and Kearney 14. We'll be back and take a look at the first half stats right after this on Classic Hits.
It's fall, and we Nebraskans are serious about our football. We pay attention to the punch, the passes, the tackles, and the touchdowns. Same thing goes for hassle-free at the Midway Auto Group. Folks at Midway care about every aspect of your buying and ownership experience. You'll find our lowest prices right there in the window. And when you purchase, you can get a free year of routine maintenance and free car washes for life. Hassle-free. It's a big deal at the Midway Auto Group on South 2nd Avenue in Kearney or online at thinkmidway.com. Think hassle-free. Think Midway.
Pro Team Design is the name you need to know for quality screen printing and embroidery, plus experienced and friendly service. No matter what the sport, special occasion, or business need, the staff at Pro Team Design can help you by providing unique and creative designs, your favorite brands like Adidas, Mizuno, Nike, and Wilson, and our specialty on-time order delivery. No job is too big or too small, so call us today for a free price quote. Pro Team Design, 2716 Old Fair Road in Grand Island, 308-398-1154, or check us out on the web at proteamdesign.com.
Congratulations, you've won $1 million from Publishers
Clearing. Move out of the way. Is that a Valentino's delivery truck going down the street? I didn't know they delivered. Hey, guys, Valentino's delivers.
It's the next best thing to enjoying Valentino's famous Grand Italian Buffet. Now delivery of pizza, pasta, and salads. Just a call away, 308-233-3888. That's 233-3888. Better than $1 million? Depends on how hungry you are.
Hey, didn't you hear me?
Valentino's of Kearney now delivers.
And welcome back to the Ravenna Sanitation Halftime Report. Let's take a look at the first half stats here for the first half, 28-14, Papillion-La Vista. And we'll start with Papillion-La Vista, Tyler Rice. I have him 4 carries for 36 yards. Trey Moore has 6 carries for, make it 7 carries for 29 yards. Scott Lux, 2 carries for 9 yards. Alec DeToro, I have him for 4 carries for 3 yards. So that's kind of what we expected, Tony. Not a whole lot of running the football and not much success, although 2 of Rice's runs have been for 16 yards, including a touchdown.
Yeah, and, you know, he shows his speed around, and then, you know, Carney did a better job later on his runs of keeping him in the middle of the field, because once he gets that edge, he's too fast. He's been shown to be the fastest person on the field this first half. He's going to be somebody they got to contain, and they got to eliminate the big play for Papillion. They got to keep people in front of him in the passing game, and they cannot allow Rice to get to the outside and get down the sideline, because he is a flyer. Now the team's come out now, and Papillion got a great contingent of students on hand. A lot of people made the trip down here from the student body, so they were excited for this game, and they showed that in the first half here. I'm a little actually got to be really disappointed in the crowd for Kearney here. They usually get great crowds here, and for a playoff game, you got to wonder, well, what's going on. Maybe the 11 o'clock kickoff, you mentioned that.
Must be a heck of a storm game tonight. Let's take a look at the rest of the stats here. If I have DeToro's numbers right, because he was not the starter tonight, Moore took the first snaps, I would have him 7 of 11 with no interceptions and 2 touchdowns for 117 yards in the first half of play. And Moore would be 3 of 4 with no interceptions, no touchdowns, and 18 yards. So that's 135 yards through the air, 17 carries for 77 yards on the ground. That's 212 yards of total offense for Papillion-La Vista, 10 first downs in the ball game, 2 penalties for 7 yards, no turnovers, 1 punt for 33 yards. We'll be back and look at Kearney's numbers right after this.
Athletes come in all shapes and sizes, and Kearney Orthopedic and Sports Medicine specializes in getting them all back in their game. From swinging a hammer to swinging a golf club, whether tackling daily tasks or tackling the running back, see Kearney Orthopedic and Sports Medicine Clinic. If you're suffering from any injury that's putting you on the sidelines, make an appointment today and take comfort in our care. Kearney Orthopedic and Sports Medicine.
Back on the Ravenna Sanitation Halftime Report. Here's a look at the first half stats for Kearney High. Caleb Lundgren, 7 carries, 22 yards. Trey Anderson, 2 carries, 21 yards. Luke McNitt, 11 carries, 61 yards, and 2 touchdowns. 20 rushing attempts, 104 yards for the Bearcats. McNitt came out, Tony, and completed his first 8 passes, and then the turnovers started to happen on the defensive changes by the Monarchs.
Yeah, they got that little slant pass to Lindsay about 3 or 4 times, and it looked like, hey, it's going to be pretty tough to stop. Well, all of a sudden, Coach Govier and his staff dialed up something a little bit differently and got people jumping in passing lanes. They were able to take 3 interceptions. You know, coming into this ball game tonight, Luke McNitt, only 4 interceptions on the year.
McNitt, 12 of 18, but 3 interceptions, no touchdowns, only 72 yards. That's 6 yards per completion for Kearney High, way below what you would be hoping for. 72 through the air, 104 on the ground. It is 176 yards of offense and 10 first downs for Kearney High. 3 penalties for 30 yards. They haven't punted the football either. They haven't punted it, and one for Papillion-La Vista. So the turnovers have been the killer. A fumble on a completed pass at the 1 yard line that I have to see on film, because that's why Nate Stevens hasn't played any more in the ball game. He got lit up, but it didn't look like he did anything or had the ball long enough for it to be a completed pass. But it ended up being a fumble, and it ended up eventually leading to that third touchdown for the Monarchs. And so 4 turnovers, the killer for Kearney High. And at the half, it's Papillion-La Vista 28, Kearney 14. You've been listening to the Ravenna Sanitation Halftime Report. For quality, dependable trash hauling service for your farm, home, or business, contact Ravenna Sanitation. The second half is next.
For professional service to keep your business running smoothly, call Hellman, Main, Kostler, and Cottle. Don't let your financial accounts become overtaxing. Let Hellman, Main, Kostler, and Cottle take care of the accounting while you worry about taking care of your business. They can do it all, from a large company to small businesses. They make it a priority to do the best to help take the stress out of the numbers. Best of luck to all the area athletes in tonight's game from Hellman, Main, Kostler, and Cottle.
Gabe Hoynes putting the ball on the tee here for Papillion-La Vista. And wind, there isn't anything to speak of here tonight during this football game, so that should not be a factor in the second half. Back deep for Kearney High. On the near side is Caleb Lundgren. On the far side is Hunter King. They stand at their 10 as Papillion-La Vista comes out of that bunch. They do not quick kick it. They will set up now to boot the ball away, and Kearney gets ready for it. Hoynes puts his foot into the football, and it sails back to the 7-yard line to Lundgren. 10, 15, 20, right side, gets a block, 25, 30, and a shirt tail tackle at the 37-yard line, and a flag comes after it. Austin Moon got the tackle, but that's not where the flag was, Tony.
Well, Doug, it looked like there could have been a horse collar tackle when he reached up with that other hand, perhaps.
I think we got a late hit is what we've got. That he just grabbed the back of his jersey and rode him down. Otherwise, Lundgren might have been off to the races. Just some good blocking by the special teams there. It didn't look like there was much of a hole, and they're trying to force Kearney to the sidelines with their kicks. And so a 15-yard penalty to start things off here in the second half, and Kearney will start in Monarch territory at the 45-yard line.
Well, that's, you know, you're not getting all that return yards, but you tack the penalty on. That's a great starting point for this Bearcat offense.
So let's see if Kearney High can get off to a great start. They scored with 20 seconds to go in the second quarter to cut it to 14. Now McNitt in the shotgun at the 45-yard line. He'll keep it himself off the right side, run into one man. There's another grabbing of the jersey and pulling back of McNitt for no gain.
Now Lechtenberg's right there again. We mentioned his name the whole first half. Well, why not start off with him the second half? He's the first man there for that Monarch defense.
So no gain on the play for McNitt, who had a spectacular touchdown run of 38 yards for his second rushing touchdown right before the half for the Kearney High Bearcats.
Yeah, breaking tackles, hurdling people, it was a highlight reel.
Second down, 10 yards to go at the 45-yard line. Twins left. Now Stevens is back in the ball game. Lindsay will go in motion right to left, and they'll throw it out here to Trey Anderson on a wide receiver screen, and he doesn't get anything. It's going to be third down and 10.
Now, Trey Priest has him around the ankles. He's able to hop out of that, but by that time, there were 3 other white jerseys over there bringing him to the ground.
Omaha Burke leads Millard North 22-7 now in that 1-versus-16 matchup. That's really not a 1-versus-16 matchup because of the 3 games that Millard had to forfeit. They go in at 4-5 instead of what they are, 7-2. But now 3rd and 10, Bearcats got to take advantage of this great field position. 4 wideouts now with Lundgren to the left side of his quarterback. Here comes the blitz right up the middle. The blitz is picked up. McNitt throws it deep into double coverage and overthrows his intended receiver in Spencer Lindsay. The coverage provided by Jalen Allison. Kearney's got to send in the punt unit, and that is a disaster. Well, not a disaster. That's just got to be a bad feeling when you get the ball to start the second half at Papillion's 45-yard line.
That was a great defense down the field. The defender running right with Lindsay as he's going. I mean, no room to get the ball in there. And I know McNitt wanted to get him down the field, but he wasn't open.
Anthony Figueroa and Bryce Sheard, the punt returner. Spencer Lindsay now to punt for the first time tonight. High snap. Here comes the rush and a high short kick. Fair catch called for, and it takes a nothing bounce. I thought it was going to take a bounce backwards, but it just kind of dies at the 23-yard line. It's only a 22-yard punt there for the Bearcats. No return. They don't want to see the return from the Speedy Monarchs, but not much of the change of field position there, Tony. It's bled on down. Turn it, kick it out at the 10, and let's move on.
Yeah, that's exactly right. You want to kick it away from them, kick it out of bounds.
So it's going to be a 22-yard punt, and here comes DeToro, who's over 2,000 yards passing now on the season after the first half, and he is going to turn and hand it off to his running back and nowhere to go, about a gain of a yard to the 24-yard line. And let's see if it's Rice or Lux that starts the second half. It's going to be Rice. Tyler just four carries in that first half, but did have a 16-yard touchdown run to start the scoring.
Yeah, everybody on that defensive line involved on that tackle, Gannon, Jenniges, along with Kowalski.
Like to go in the hurry-up offense, second down and nine. Swing pass out into the flat right side, and Trey Anderson is right there to throw Rice backwards. And, in fact, that might have been stripped out of his hands. They didn't blow the whistle. Did Anderson rip it away? Anderson ripped it away. It's Kearney Bearcat football inside the 15-yard line.
Well, I'll tell you right now, the Papillion monitor is right down there in the official's ear saying, wait a minute, that's dual possession. The offensive guy gets it, but he just ripped it away from him. You're exactly right. He latched onto that football.
They're going to mark the ball at the 13-yard line of Papillion. That is their first turnover of the ball game. And Kearney High will run option to the right side. McNitt's going to keep it, and he is going to drop the football on the ground and land on it at the 11-yard line. Took him a while to get it away from Caleb Lundgren. They ran about 5 yards together from left to right.
Well, Figueroa's in on the tackle, but he's seeing why you don't want to hit Luke McNitt head on, because he just ran over Figueroa and yelled on.
A gain of one for McNitt. Kearney High needs to capitalize here. They had great field position to start the second half and did not gain a single yard when they started at the 45 of the Monarchs. Now they have it second down and nine at the Monarch 12-yard line. Papillion changes their defense up. McNitt back to pass under pressure. Better get rid of it, and he is going to be sacked way back at the 27-yard line. Luke saw the pressure coming, tried to duck under it, and there was more than one guy. Had there only been one guy get through, McNitt would have been okay, but he's going to lose 15 yards on the sack. And once again, one of the men back there is Nick Lechtenberg.
Well, McNitt's over there. It looks like something now wrong with his left leg. He's over there just walking, just limping back to the huddle. He's very, very sore, but very tough. Keeps getting back up. He's taking some shots tonight.
Well, now you want to make sure that you're in field goal range for Spencer Lindsay. Third and 23 at the 27-yard line. Trips to the left side, Anderson to the right. And McNitt is going to hand it off to Lundgren, 25-20. And there's a lot of jersey tackling right now by Papillion La Vista. Going to be a gain of about six. And that means Spencer Lindsay, I would think, is going to come in and try what will be a 38-yard field goal.
You're right about the jersey grabbing. Some of these tackles turning the old large jersey into the double XL. They're just pulling, just ripping the backs off of them.
So a 6 yard gain by Lundgren. And Lindsay now will be kicking from the left hash. But this is kind of a great job by the Papillion La Vista defense, Tony. Backs not right against the wall, but they're going to maybe limit Kearney to three or no points here. Let's see what they can do with this 38-yard field goal attempt. Stevens with the hold. Lindsay with the kick. It is on the way. Has plenty of leg. And it is no good. Wide right.
Well, the good news is, if you're a Bearcat fan, I mean, it's not like you're gonna get to give them the ball at the 20-yard line. It goes into the end zone. So, I mean, there's nothing hurt there. You miss it. I mean, the same as punting it out the back of the end zone if you take the sack for 10 more yards backwards.
So each team has missed a field goal in this football game, and it'll be first and 10, the Monarchs. So they are able to survive their first turnover. And here's an inside handoff to Scott Lux. He's at the 25, the 30, dragging Bearcats with him, 35-36. I'll tell you what, these officials let them finish the play. There have been no early whistles in this game, a gain of 16.
You're right on that, pushing and shoving after the play in three different areas of the field.
First down and 10, Papillion La Vista leading at 28-14 with 7:43 to go here in the third quarter of play. The Bearcats twice have started in Papillion territory here in the half and have nothing to show for it as they give it to Rice trying to bounce outside. And he'll get the corner but run out of real estate at about the 43-yard line. Still a nice gain, 7 yards.
Isaac Brown brings him down for the Bearcats, but Rice, another not very big kid, but finds a way to get it done. They list him at 5'8", 175 pounds. That's one of those that probably stretching a little bit.
Second down, 3.5, back to pass, over the middle. The ball is going to be caught. What a catch. Spencer Lindsay came right over the top of Rice at midfield, and Rice still able to hold on for the first down, hold on to the ball for a gain of about 6. It wasn't a deep pass, but enough to move the chains.
Now, Lindsay wanted to make a big play and turn this thing around. He just a split second too late getting there.
Adams Central leading Gehring 28-13 as they play with 4.5 minutes to go in the third quarter. Here it's 28-14, Papillion La Vista. Man in motion, end around, 50-45. Lux gets dragged down at the 41-yard line and put another 9 yards on the board. They're calling a lot of different plays right now on the Monarch sideline.
I'll put another tackle down on the year for Jackson Gannon. He's up there in the defensive line and runs that play down all the way on the outside.
It's hurry-up offense time. Quarterback sneak as they line up in that shotgun formation, and DeToro then runs up under center and snaps the ball. That's almost could be a real illegal procedure. Because even the quarterback has to be set.
Right.
Well, he got him up under center. And he put it right on the 40-yard line. Let's see if he's got enough for the first down. I think they're going to bring the chains in. And, Tony, it would appear that he's going to be about the nose of the football short.
Yeah, I don't know. As well as you've been moving the ball on this Bearcat defense, you know, to put yourself in this situation where they can bunch people up there on the line of scrimmage, I suppose you try and, if you're not going to throw this thing, you get bounced outside to DeToro if you think the Bearcats have too many people right up there over the ball. But
well, he has it by the tip of the football. And so another first down here for Papillion La Vista, who started at their own 20-yard line and now have it at the Kearney Bearcat 40. And you got to feel that the Bearcats have to make another play here, Tony, because they've squandered two golden opportunities to get right back in this ball game. It is first down and 10. And DeToro takes the snap, throws the slant pattern for 4. The ball's fumbled, and Carney's got it. Carney got it. They're going to call it incomplete. They're going to call it incomplete.
Boy, Brandon
Cool. No. That's right in front of us, Tony.
Well, Brandon Cool's pointing right down at the other end where they called the pass complete, and the Bearcats coughed it up on the 2-yard line. He is not happy with his officiating crew once again tonight.
Now, I think they didn't argue a whole lot. I think they knew it was incomplete. So now it is going to be second down, and the ball is not spotted. Apparently at the right spot. You could hear the crowd. You could hear the coaches. They have marked it as a. They marked the ball where it was called incomplete, which would have been 3 yards. So it's second down and 10, and they'll restart the play clock.
It's not a fumble. It's incomplete. It's second and 10. Brandon Cool.
DeToro sends a man in motion. High snap. Hands it to Rice to the short side of the field, fighting Brueggemann, and he'll get to the 35-yard line. Man, it doesn't look like they get much, and still it's 5 yards, and it'll be third down and 5.
And Rice bounces around. There was nowhere to go, and then he just swivels his hips and shoots up 3 more yards.
28-14, Papillion La Vista, 6:10 to go in the third quarter of play here on KKPR-FM, Kearney Hastings, Grand Island, and PlatteRiverPreps.com. Again, empty backfield. It's going to be DeToro wants to run it, and he's not going to get the first down. Right there, Jackson Gannon shooting through there, Caleb Lundgren. To make him change his direction.
Are you going to call a face mask, Doug?
Penalty flag on the field. It would be 4th and 4. But instead, a face mask is going to be called which will be an automatic first down. Well, it won't be automatic, but the 5 yards will give him a first down. A one-yard gain by DeToro. He's got 5 total yards rushing. 4th penalty of the ball game on Kearney, the 2nd face mask.
I tell you, the coaching staff for Kearney High just absolutely irate right now.
And it keeps the drive alive. And you have to wonder, too, Tony, their 5-yard face mask penalties, they have to be grazes to be 5-yard face mask penalties. You could understand it either way if it was a 15-yard penalty, but not the case. So with a first down and 10 at the 29-yard line, a fresh set of downs, DeToro back to pass, looks right side, short slant, complete at the 28 and forward to the 26-yard line for a gain of only 3 on the play. That one into the hands of Ryan Leaf.
You know, that's one of those plays, though, when that slant starts coming, one of those linebackers got to step up and just hammer that guy. Bearcats very timid right now.
And again with the no huddle, DeToro back to pass. This time he comes the other way, and it's complete to Lux at the 20-yard line, and he'll be pulled out of bounds. 1 yard short of the first down, 1/2 yard short of the first down, a gain of 6 more.
Well, I think by this spot they're going to be about a full yard short of this first down.
So 3rd down here, and let's see what Coach Govier wants to do. Sends in a whole new set of linemen here on 3rd and 1 with 5 minutes to go in the 3rd quarter. It's still 28-14. There's been no change in the scoring since halftime. And they're going to line up in that Maryland eye with Utter leading the way. Kearney puts 10 guys in the box. They give it to the big fella off the right side, and he just runs them over refrigerator style. 13-yard line, a gain of 7.
Well, you start to hear the Monarch crowd make a little noise on the far side, too, because they love to see number 78 carry this ball. 300-pound Utter, senior defensive lineman.
Take the ball to the 12-yard line. We'll call it a gain of 8. And the Bearcats need a stop here. 1st down and 10. And back to pass again to DeToro. Tries to throw it out here in the flat, short to Lux and incomplete.
Here's one for you. Utter does have 2 touchdowns on the year. Only carried the ball 3 times for 5 yards. So those goal line situations, they say, you know what? You've been a leader in the weight room. You've been a leader all summer long for us. Here's your reward. Get in the end zone, big man.
So it'll be 2nd down and 10 now for Papillion La Vista. Already up 28-14 at the Bearcat 12-yard line. DeToro back to pass again, looking to his right, and he overthrows his intended receiver in Leaf. A lot of passes, short little passes on this drive, 4, 5, 3 yards down the field. And that one sailed over his intended receiver's head. DeToro's been on the mark most of the ball game, but here in the 3rd quarter, he's 3 of 6 for 15 yards.
You're right, the 2 receivers, they had trips to the left. Those 2 receivers go about 3 yards down the field, and both of them, one rolls the inside, one rolls the outside there.
Kearney needs to hold the Monarchs to a field goal try here. It is 3rd down and 10 at the 12-yard line. They go bunch right side, twins to the left in a stack. DeToro, long count here. Will take the snap, drop back to pass, looks to his right, goes to the end zone, triple coverage, and the ball is caught in triple coverage for the touchdown.
Doug, there's Caleb Lundgren, Caden Brueggemann, and Isaac Brown, all 3 there, and somehow Spencer Lewis comes out with a number 10. Amazing catch. Spencer Lewis somehow comes up with a football. You know what? Sometimes you in playoff games, you got to have somebody step up and make a play, and Spencer Lewis stepped up and made a play there.
I don't know how that ball got through 3 blue jerseys as Hoynes ready to add the extra point, and the kick is on the way, and it is good. The 80-yard drive is culminated here after the missed field goal at the other end, and it's now Papillion-La Vista 35, Kearney 14, 4:16 to go 3rd quarter. We're back after this on Classic Hits.
Honey, hurry. We need to finish loading up the trash. The dump closes in 30 minutes.
Don't let trash take up time in your busy schedule. Let Ravenna Sanitation take care of all your trash needs. At Ravenna Sanitation, they take trash seriously. They're there to be your trash collection connection. If you need trash removal from your home, business, or farm, Ravenna Sanitation is the quality, dependable trash hauling service that you've been looking for.
Ravenna Sanitation, serving all of Buffalo County.
As always, a big thank you to the many fine sponsors for allowing us to bring you high school sports throughout the year. And now the Bearcats season on the line, and they're in trouble, 35-14.
Yeah, they're in big trouble now, a three-score deal. There's a lot of good fans on hand tonight, though.
Can't wait for some of those high school football games in Wednesday night. I know your Bertrand Vikings are going to try and get a little deeper in the playoffs as the squib kick here goes back to the 15-yard line. Lundgren, 20, 25, has some room, 30, still fighting, 32-yard line, and that's where this run back is going to come to an end. Pushing backwards to the 30 is where they're going to actually spot it, first down and 10 here for the Kearney Bearcats. But, Tony, you just had to feel the Bearcats ran the opening kick back to the 40-yard line. There was a 15-yard face mask or personal foul. It was a late hit. They started at the Papillion 45-yard line, didn't gain a yard, punted away, and then forcing the turnover, Anderson strips the ball away. They've got it at the 13 and missed the field goal. And now they're down by 21 when you had to think that those two golden opportunities, 28-21, was in their future. And on an end around here, Lundgren looking for some blocks. He'll turn the corner and get up to the 35-yard line. Again, not an explosive run, but just following his blocks, getting behind Logan Worth over there and getting a 5-yard gain.
Doug, you mentioned the playoff action going on next Wednesday. Bertrand's one of those teams. Should be a great game, but it's one of those rematches. Like Kearney Catholic taking on Blue Hill, they handled Sumner, you know, beat them 45, I believe 29, so had them by a couple scores there. It's interesting because they have to meet 2 weeks later.
Start of the fourth quarter, Adams Central leads Gehring 35-13. And they will have a quarterback draw here with McNitt, and McNitt is going to be hit, fall forward for 2 yards. Ball came out of there, but after he was down, it'll be third and short. Kearney's had a lot of third downs tonight.
Yeah, it's beginning up pretty slowly now for the Monarchs. That's number 51. Genovese, the junior defensive lineman, he's going to stay in there. His buddy says, hey, come on, stay in here with us. He's still grabbing at his wrist.
3 minutes to go in the third quarter, 35-14, Papillion La Vista over Kearney here on Classic Hits 98.9 and PlatteRiverPreps.com. Tony and I will be in Blue Hill Wednesday as the Bobcats take on the Kearney Catholic Stars in the second round of C2. Now McNitt spreads them out again. Move the tight end, brush to the right side, and McNitt on the option, wants to keep it, looks for room, and as he comes over to his center, he is crushed and will be short of the first down by about a yard. But, Tony, where we're at in this football game, Brandon Cool's got a decision to make, fourth and one at his own 38-and-a-half-yard line.
I don't think there's much decision to make. If you think you got a chance to win this ball game, you got to get it here.
And McNitt walks over to the sideline. And if you're the Cats, make the decision. Don't burn a timeout here. And McNitt will run in there, and you know what? They might try and draw them off sides. If they do that, they need to hustle up to the line.
Game 7 action, 3-2 St. Louis, bottom of the fifth, Doug.
Currently area on ESPN, 1460 and 1550. Fourth and a yard and a half at their own 38-and-a-half. Yeah, McNitt's trying to draw them off sides. I think they're going to end up taking a they're going to call a timeout. 1:48 to go here in the third quarter. Kearney tried to draw him off, and Papillion La Vista was not going to bite. So a punting situation here for Kearney. They trail 35-14, and we'll be back after this on Classic Hits.
I have always said that I'm a Nebraska Farm Bureau member because it gives me, as a farmer, a voice in the legislature and in Washington, D.C. But did you know what your Buffalo County Farm Bureau does for you in your own backyard? By giving scholarships to local kids, supporting the Buffalo County Fair and 4-H programs, or tackling zoning concerns and other local issues. Farm Bureau starts right here. That's why I'm a proud Farm Bureau member.
Call Buffalo County Farm Bureau and rediscover your grassroots power.
Tough decision here for the Kearney Bearcats, Tony. You, in your gut, you want to go for it. In your head, you know you got to punt this ball.
Not if you're going to win this football game, Doug. I think you line up and say, here we are. We think we're still in this ball game. We got to go down. We got to score right now. I go for this thing. I don't think there's any doubt about it.
If they don't get it, the game's over. If they do get it, they're still in it, and they're going to line up to go for it. So let's see what happens. Fourth down, a yard and a half at their own 38-yard line. McNitt takes the snap. He wants to throw the football out in the flat. It's complete to Stevens, but he's short. And Papillion La Vista will take over. They just tried to throw a little drag route out here, and Stevens was drilled as he caught the football.
Now the coaching staff of Papillion up in the booth right next to us, these guys are going crazy. That's exactly what they wanted to do. Stevens no more caught that football and turned around, and boom, the defender just dropped the hammer on him. He's got to make sure that he gets beyond that first down marker when he turns around. Doug, you know, that's, you got to know where the first down is and make sure
He had no chance when he caught the ball because he was drilled immediately. And so now back to work. They'll hand it up the middle to Lux, and he's off to the races. 30, 25, 20, right sideline, 15, 10, and he'll be pushed out of bounds at the four-yard line, a 35-yard gain. It's first and goal. The Monarchs 4 yards away from advancing.
And the Monarchs continue to press the pace as they've done since the opening kickoff tonight. Very, very fast tempo is the way they want to play. They're going to huddle up, actually, here for the first time all night, but the huddle lasts for about 3 seconds, but big boys in, Utter.
Now Moore is there as the quarterback out of the Maryland eye, first and goal at the four-yard line. They'll give it to Utter up the middle of the football field, and he's into the end zone for his third touchdown of the year, and a penalty flag comes out in the end zone.
I think they got Utter for spiking the football when he scored. The big man throws the football down, and I think they're going to get him for a little celebration.
The touchdown is good. Dead ball unsportsmanlike on Papillion La Vista. That'll be assessed on the kickoff, meaning they'll kick it away from the 25-yard line. But after Kearney High goes for it, doesn't get it, two plays, and the Monarchs are in the end zone.
Well, Dougie, you punt the thing to the Monarchs. Obviously, you're conceding the ball game at that point. Didn't you really feel you had to pick up that first down if you're Kearney High?
You were in a catch-22. Your defense had not been stopping.
Right.
Papillion La Vista, they already allowed 35 points in this football game, and now, obviously, 41, going to be 42. So if this was a 10-7 game, that's one thing. But
it was
a shootout, and you had to figure, well, you had to get it. You had to convert it. That was the bottom line. There was nothing wrong with going for it, but you've got to convert it. And when you're not a power team, it's tough sometimes to do that. Here's the extra point by Hoynes. It's on the way, and it is good. So with 1:25 to go here in the third quarter of play, once again, two quick strikes. They had two touchdowns in 2 minutes in the second quarter, two touchdowns in 2.5 minutes, 2:45 here in the third quarter. Papillion La Vista 42, Kearney 14. We'll be right back.
For over 50 years, Sorensen Construction in Kearney has been your number one designing, building, and general contractors. Sorensen Construction specializes in new construction, additions, and remodeling, both commercial and residential. Count on the professionals. Call Rick and Tim to take care of your building today. Building Kearney is what they do. Sorensen Construction, your on-time contractor for over 50 years. Sorensen Construction is a proud supporter of all area sports.
1:25 to go in the third quarter of play. Papillion La Vista 42, Kearney 14. And the Bearcats, who have been known to score a lot of points in a short amount of time, now going to need a miracle type of comeback here at Foster Field.
They do this kickoff deal, and a lot of teams are doing this, and it's amazing to me that why teams do that, because no one on Sundays does that. Why would you do that? If it worked real great, more teams on Sundays would do that.
More teams on Saturday would do it, too. Here's a kick because of the penalty. It's going to go out of bounds, and so now they can make him kick it again because of the celebration penalty after the touchdown. They're kicking off from the 25-yard line. Now they can make him kick it off from the 20.
Yeah, I think that you'd won a big play in the return game. Because I'm pretty sure that you want something to happen real fast. And
well, yeah, getting it out of bounds. I think they still get it at the 35. I'm not up on the rule on this. Maybe they get it up about the 50. I don't know. And Coach Cool is getting an explanation from the official. If you're going to get it at the 35, you got to back him up, make him kick it again. And our referee says that Kearney will take the ball.
And they'll get it at the 50.
That's exactly what's going to happen. So You can't kick it out of bounds to try and help yourself. So the Bearcats, again, get good field position. And let's see if they can get something going here with a minute 25 to go in the third quarter of play.
Zach, Justin Liveringhouse in up on the offensive line for the Bearcats, seeing some action here. And also number 87, Skyler Brush, into the ballgame as well.
Yeah, he's been playing quite a bit in this football game for the Bearcats tonight. Trey Anderson, who was huge in the game at North Star, I'm not sure he's caught the ball tonight, has he? One catch, maybe? They're going to look his way this time. Complete for about a three-yard gain. The ball popped into the air, and they call it incomplete. Rice caught the ball out of the air. They're going to call it incomplete as Rice was running all by himself the wrong way. If you're a Bearcat fan, it'll be second down and 10.
Well, the problem, Doug, is the people on the outside against the receivers are too fast. I mean, they're just faster than what Kearney's got out there.
Well, this is not Kearney's game.
No.
They are not a come-from-behind football team. Aurora has scored on a fake field goal and now leads Norris 33-24. In Class B action, we'll keep you up to date here on Classic Hits as McNitt fakes the pass, wants to run the quarterback draw, and wrapping him up is Mackenzie Wishman.
Yeah, Wishman absolutely just drives him into the ground.
No gain, maybe even a loss of one that time for McNitt, and the Bearcats are going the wrong way here in the second half, Tony. They've had excellent field position three times and have went backwards or gained no yards all three times. Again, if you're just joining us, Kearney returned the second half kickoff to the 40. There was a 15-yard late hit, so they started at the 45, three and out, then forced a turnover and got a 15-yard sack and ended up missing a field goal. Now they're at midfield, and McNitt drops back to pass, has to dance around from a bunch of defenders, and still, as he got away from the rush, couldn't get the ball off, and he is going to get back to the line of scrimmage, and that is it.
Now, Trey Anderson's running down the field. Stevens is down the field, but they got people running right with them. I mean, Rice is out there covering Trey Anderson, and you saw Rice with his speed on his two touchdowns tonight.
41-14 Elkhorn over Scott. Gretna leading Plattsmouth 35-7 as they have 8 minutes to go in their game. And Kearney, a penalty, Tony?
Now they were just
time runs out. Yeah, time runs out here. They're just going to let the clock run out. And fourth down and 11 coming up for the Bearcats. So Papillion La Vista on their way to a second-round matchup with Lincoln Southwest. Unless a minor miracle happens here at Foster Field, it's the Monarchs 42, Kearney 14. Stay with us because you never know. In case you watched the World Series last night, you never know. We'll be back after this.
UTEC is proud to support high school sports. UTEC is known as the undisputed yield leader as a result of their excellent performance in university and first trials and in your fields. While winning isn't everything at the high school level, it sure makes things a lot more interesting. To put UTEC's winning genetics to work for you, contact Terry or Jason Stark at 750-6060 or visit UTEC at yieldleader.com.
UTEC seed, the undisputed Midwest yield leader.
Attention football fans, it's that time of year again when the competition is heating up. If you want to be the ultimate tailgate grilling master, you need a Traeger wood pellet grill. You could be making bacon and biscuits before a morning game, pizza and hamburgers before the afternoon game, or take your time and enjoy smoking ribs or pork tenderloin before that evening game. The grill that can do it all, check out the new Traeger Junior Tailgate model. Stop grilling, start Traegering at Builders in Kearney.
Builders does the best.
Kearney High to start the fourth quarter. McNitt back to pass on fourth down. He's going to find Stevens downfield for a first down at the 27-yard line. That's going to be a gain of 25 yards. Biggest pass play for Kearney of the night. And they're ready to go again. McNitt floats it into triple coverage, and it's intercepted at the 12-yard line and returned up to the 20 by Jalen Allison. The fourth pick of the night for the Monarch defense.
Yeah, his eighth of the season, four entering the contest. He's matched that number tonight. Well, he just lofted that ball up there, just floated it out there, and there's three white jerseys and one Shriner out there.
Tony, this is not the Luke McNitt we saw last year in the playoff game, which was a much different situation. He had to come in because of injury and play his first start last year in the playoff game against Prep, and what we saw earlier this year, the defense just must be disguised enough that McNitt is not recognizing it because he's thrown into triple coverage a couple of times tonight in these interceptions. And now Papillion La Vista, Rice around the right side. The ball is knocked loose there by Isaac Brown, but the Monarchs still cover it at the 24-yard line.
Yeah, Wozencavich, if you try and spell this name, you will hurt yourself. I promise you that at home. But big number 65, the center, able to jump on the football.
So it'll be second down and 7 yards to go here. And Moore or DeToro is in there at quarterback. Looks like it's going to be DeToro at quarterback. And he'll take the snap. Hand it forward. No, that is Moore in there. He's going to give it to Rice. And Rice comes straight ahead for a couple of yards to the 27.
Jackson Gannon goes straight down the line. Another solo tackle for him.
So Gannon able to get the tackle. We have 10:45 to go in the game. 42-14. Papillion La Vista. Class B final. McCook 37 and Alliance 14. Third down. They'll call it 5 yards to go here. Moore rolls to his right, passes underneath to Rice, and he is going to catch it at the 30-yard line, but step out of bounds before he gets the first down. It's only a gain of about 3.5. It'll be fourth and a long yard.
That Brueggemann right there run him out of bounds. So I guess you'll send the punting unit out if you're the Monarchs here.
So it looks like Adams Central will get to make that trip out to McCook next Friday night. Adams Central, a big lead at last check.
And remember, that game went down to the wire during the regular season.
Yeah, a pick in the end zone with 8 seconds to go, and McCook won it by 3. So now a punt for just the second time tonight for the Monarchs. Hoynes is listed as the punter. And here is the snap. He'll boot it away. Good high kick. Fair catch called for by Lindsay. He bobbled it, but he did bring it in at the 36-yard line. 33-yard punt. No return, and Carney High will take over. So two punts, each were 33, and that's right around his average for the season. Carney High has moved the ball at times, but boy, when you have 5 turnovers, you're not going to win any football games, and that's what's happened to Carney tonight.
Well, that's what happened to Central City last night. Not that Minden wasn't a better football team, but you're not giving yourself any hope at all when you turn it over like that, Doug.
Creed has beaten Elkhorn South 36-0 in Class B football. They will get the Norris Aurora winner in the second round, and that is a close ball game. Aurora with the lead. McNitt now. Back into the shotgun formation. He'll give it to Lundgren on a sweep around the right side. Block was missed. He's going to be drugged down behind the line of scrimmage and a loss back close to the 31-32-yard line. Second and long now for the Bearcats. They'll mark it at the 31. That's a loss of 6.
That's one of those flashbacks to Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. You're going the wrong way.
After the ball game, the Misco Sports Plus Game Show. So stay with us for the final scores, the final stats. We'll update all the scores that we have for you. Trips to the left side here for McNitt. He's got to find somebody downfield. He's only been able to do it once, and it's going to be an underneath swing pass here to Hunter King. Makes a man miss at the 35, gets to the 40-yard line, and it gives them a manageable, third down here, even though it'll be third down and 8. So they got half of what they needed right there.
Well, you got 2 downs to pick this up. I don't think you're punting the football at this juncture.
Well, you look at all the passes Carney has thrown. Only 3 of them have gone for more than 10 yards. The longest one was on the last series
fourth
when they went
11.
On 4th and 11, and then they threw the pick on the very next play. Anderson out to the left side, guarded by Allison. On 3rd down and 8 for the Bearcats at their own 40. McNitt back to pass. Looked like he was trying to set up a screen. He's flushed. He throws. He's got his man Lindsay, and it's complete at the 45-yard line of Papillion La Vista for a Bearcat first down. That's a gain of 16, the second longest pass play of the night for Kearney.
Well, McNitt was able to escape out of the pocket, buy himself some extra point, and Lindsay buy himself some extra time, and Lindsay just kept running his route all the way across the field there.
Early fourth quarter, Aurora 33, Norris 31 in a shootout there in Huskyland. McNitt back to pass, fakes the screen, throws deep. He's got Trey Anderson, and Anderson off his fingertips, incomplete at the 8-yard line. It's been that kind of night for the Kearney Bearcats. He finally got open. The safety was late getting over there, and Andrew Aprich talking to his safety saying, my bad, I didn't force him over there quite enough. The safety bit on the little hitch on the pump fake, and Anderson let one get off his fingertips there.
Yeah, he couldn't have thrown a better pass in there, and obviously Trey wants that one over, but he's not going to get it. Falls to the ground.
Adams Central 42, Gehring 13 late in their ball game. Schreiner in motion, second and 10, Bearcats at the Monarch 45-yard line. Now they set the screen up to Lundgren, and he's going to have to do most of this on his own, but as he cuts back, gets a block at the 40 to the 39-yard line. Did a lot of running for a 6-yard gain, and again, he was one step from making it big, but that's why Papillion La Vista has been playing such good football tonight, Tony. Even when they get blocked a couple of times, there always seems to be one more guy to get by.
Well, yeah, and it was Trey Priest, and they're good at making one-on-one tackles in the open field, wrapping people up around the ankles and bringing them down.
Four wide on third and four, underneath pass Anderson, and it's in and out of his hands. It was poked out of his hands there by Ethan Humphrey, who had a pick earlier tonight. Anderson on a quick little slant, which would have been good enough for the first down, and maybe more because the middle of the field was open, and Humphrey just reached in and poked it out of his hand.
Yeah, I think Anderson was caught there. It was almost one of those alligator arms. Thought he was going to get hit big. You know, you see these white jerseys coming at you, and then he decided, oh, I wasn't going to hit, and then the ball was poked away, so it didn't really matter there.
So fourth down again for the Bearcats. Fourth and four at the 39-yard line. Trips left. Anderson right. They'll send Schreiner in motion from left to right. McNitt trying to keep the drive alive. Back to pass. Going to throw it towards the sideline. It's going to be out of bounds even if he does catch it. Allison picked it off, but he was out of bounds intended for Spencer Lindsay. And Kearney will give it over on downs. The Monarchs will take over first and 10 at their own 39, leading it 42-14 with 8:01 to go in the ballgame.
That's just been one of those nights here. The second half has been a nightmare. Every time they get something going, they end up going backwards and throwing a pass, incomplete, dropping passes, pass throwing balls out of bounds. Just has not been the Bearcats' night.
Lincoln East, a winner tonight over Omaha Central, 49-14. The other way around, Central over East, 49-14. First down and 10, and straight up the middle here for Moore. I don't think Papillion La Vista is going to do much of anything right now, Tony, but try and get that clock running and head the bus back east with a victory.
Yeah, that's one of the things. I know the coaches challenge these kids. We don't go out, they say Western Nebraska very often, or Central Nebraska, as we say it. Let's get out there and show them we can still come and compete. They've done it tonight.
It's Millard North leading Burke now 23-22 in the fourth quarter. And up the middle again they go. Nothing there. It'll be third down and 5. Well, maybe a yard. Third down and 4. Try and give you some more scores here. Grand Island up 42-7 in the third over Columbus. Creighton Prep loses to Southeast 35-0. Millard West, Millard South tied at 17. McCook beat Alliance 37-14. Blair leads Beatrice 23-7. Third down and 4 here for the Monarchs. And Moore all by himself in the backfield. Going to throw a quick one over here to Lux. He's got it completed to Bearcat territory. Drug down there by Gus Galvin at the 44-yard line. That's going to be a gain of 10, of 9. They'll mark it at the 47.
Yeah, and that's exactly what they want to do. Just move the chains. Clock continues to run. Nothing really the Bearcats can do. They just stand out there, their hands on their hips, shaking their head, going, we thought we could compete and we thought we could win this football game. It was not their night.
Well, 5 turnovers and 2 golden opportunities early in the third quarter that they could not convert. First down and 10 here. Moore going to turn, hand it to Lux right up the middle of the football field to the 43-yard line, a gain of 4.
Well, Lux moves the pile a little bit. He's showing some power right up the middle there.
Approximately 18 first downs in the ball game for Papillion La Vista.
But Lux listed 175 pounds, but only 5'8", so runs very, very low to the ground. Packs a little bit of a punch when he reaches that defense.
You're listening to KKPR-FM, Kearney Hastings, Grand Island. On second down and 6 yards to go, Moore wants to throw it out here into the flat. Does, complete to Spencer Lewis. Lewis will run out of bounds at the Monarch sideline at the 39-yard line, a gain of 3.
Well, Trey Anderson brings him down over there.
So it'll be third down and about 2 yards to go after a couple of nice plays, a four-yarder or a five-yarder and then a three-yarder. It'll be third down and two. They're actually going to send trips to the right side this time. Scott Lux is in the slot, Moore the quarterback. I'm guessing a run is coming here. And Trey Moore, quarterback draw, goes off the left side of the line, runs right into the meat of the Bearcat defense and will be short of the first down, fourth and one.
Yeah, one of those where, you know, you're used to seeing people that, you know, go get that middle and then everything falls forward. At that time, the Bearcats' defensive line stood up and just shoved him straight backwards.
42-14, Papillion La Vista, 5.5 and counting here in the fourth quarter as the Bearcats will fall in the first round of the playoffs for the second year in a row. Last playoff win in 2008. It doesn't seem that long ago that these guys were state champions. As Moore sneaks up under center, then takes it off the right side, runs into Gus Galvin, and he will push him backwards, but plenty for the first down.
You know, one thing here, I like what Coach Cool's doing with Justin Liveringhouse out there. He's just a sophomore, but up on that defensive line, just trying to get him some playing time, knowing with some of these seniors leaving that he's going to be one of those guys that fills a big hole for him, a big need for him up front.
Blair's going to beat Beatrice. They lead it 23-13 with just over 2 minutes to go. Millard North just punted. Omaha Burke has the ball on their own 27-yard line, 4 minutes to go, and they're down one, the unbeaten number one team in the state. First and 10 here for Papillion La Vista, straight up the middle for the quarterback, Moore. He'll get minimal yardage to the 33, maybe a three-yard gain there for Moore.
Yeah, Kowalski brings him down, been very active this whole season. He's one of those people that, you know, you're certainly going to miss, along with Jennings up there. You know, Donahoe is your center up there. Just a whole bunch of these kids. The line was big for Kearney High, and they enjoyed them for the last 2 years. A lot of those kids leaving.
Doug Duda along with Tony Davis, our producer-engineer Stacy Johns here at Foster Field, a great place to play, watch, and broadcast football from. Second down and seven. Moore again, a little underneath pass, and it's going to be behind Spencer Lewis, and that'll stop the clock with 4:13 to go and bring up third down and seven.
Yeah, pass was not a well-thrown pass, about 3 yards behind the receiver or off to his left if you're the quarterback. Held on to it a little bit too long.
Gretna 35, Platts was 3 in the fourth quarter. Papillion La Vista will host Lincoln Southwest next Friday night. On third down, Moore sends Rice in backfield in motion. He'll hand it off to him on the end around, and as he tries to turn the corner, he'll slip on the turf and go down at the 31-yard line. A gain of only 2.5. It'll bring up fourth down and four.
Yeah, once again, they tried to get Rice out there. They'd go one-on-one. There was one man, if he could have cut back, that could have been a big play for the Monarchs, but legs come out from under him.
Aurora scores on fourth down. Now they're up 40-31 over Norris. Adams Central 49-13 over Gehring. Fourth down and four here. Moore has penalty flags coming as he snaps the ball. I think the wide receivers took off down the field a little too soon, and we're going to get a five-yard penalty here on Papillion La Vista, our first penalty of the fourth quarter.
They're going to just send them back out there saying that's too close to punt. We're too far for a
fifth penalty for 42 yards on Papillion La Vista. I've got Kearney, four penalties for 35 yards. Just one penalty here in the second half on Kearney, but that was a face mask that allowed Papillion La Vista to get a first down on what would have been fourth. Fourth down, 9 yards to go. Moore back to pass. Going to throw it down the middle of the field for Rice, and it's over his head to Lewis, and Lewis is going to catch it and take it into the end zone for a touchdown. They could have shook hands. A 36-yard touchdown pass from Moore to Spencer Lewis.
Yeah, Lewis, just an over-the-shoulder grab there. Very well-thrown pass. Somebody ran the wrong route. You wouldn't want two people that close together, but Lewis says, hey, I got this one. Thank you very much.
So now the PAT to try and get 49 points on the board. And that would be not unusual. Four times they've had 48 or more. And Hoynes will put this one up, and they'll call it good. with 3:30 to go in the ball game. Papillion La Vista 49, Kearney 14. We'll be back with more after this on Classic Hits.
Family Physical Therapy knows everyone has an ow. Once in a while, you might sustain an injury during competition or strain your knee or back doing chores at home. Your job now is to come up with a story to tell your friends.
Yeah, I was kickboxing in Japan.
It's Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center's job to get you back to the game of life. There's one near you in Kearney, Ravenna, Minden, Elm Creek, Franklin, Lexington, and now Wood River. If you have an ow, tell your doctor you want Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center to rehab you back to the game of life.
With 3 minutes and 30 seconds left to go in Class A, the top-ranked Omaha Burke Ball Club has come back 28-23 over Millard North. 3:30 to go in our game, and that's about all it's going to take because, unfortunately, 49-14 is 35 points. And in high school football in Nebraska, that means the clock will run continuously no matter what has happened on the previous play as Papillion La Vista gets ready to kick it off again here. And I don't know if this is a team that can give Lincoln Southwest a battle. It makes you wonder how they lost last week to Omaha Westside. But they did what they had to do, and here's a punch kick that's going to roll back to the 15-yard line. Kearney will pick it up there. Lindsay's trying to find somewhere to go. 20, 25, and that's where he'll be brought down, 26-yard line. And the Bearcats will take over and see the clock runs right there. They don't even have to set the ball. So this will be the final possession of the season for the Bearcats. And out goes Luke McNitt. So it looks like the starters are staying in there, Anderson and Stevens. And so your seniors in that starting offense, Stevens, Lindsay, Trey Anderson, Derek Schreiner, Zach Yoakum, Grady Donahoe, Grady Kowalski, Logan Worth. You expect to see that, though, at the Class A level. A lot of seniors almost every year. McNitt, he's going to hand it off up the middle of the field for a minimal gain to the 26-yard line. It's going to be Lundgren, gain of two.
Yeah, the Bearcats content. Just, hey, let's hand this thing out. You know, you start putting young kids in here, and Jack Anderson will come into the ball game right now, 180-pound senior, seeing some action tonight. Also into the ball game, number 20, Ty Braden. He's the one that had back spasms. They expected some good things out of him the last couple weeks, and he couldn't go at all last week versus North Star. So,
top of the seventh, Cardinals 5, Rangers 2 on ESPN 1460 and 1550. McNitt hands it off again up the middle for a short gain.
Who'd you pick in that series?
I picked Texas.
Oh, that's another lunch.
Congratulations, St. Louis, on backing in just like the Packers did. It's just the way of the world now, Tony. You don't have to be good early. You got to be good late. And no gain on the play that time for Lundgren. It'll be third down and 8.
Well, at least you were fortunate to see the action last night after Hamilton's home run. I conked out and woke up and found out about 2 o'clock in the morning.
Shocking. Third and 8 here for the Bearcats. Minute 35 to go. McNitt sends Lundgren in motion for a third time. And for the third time, he hands it off to him. Gets to the corner and tripped up at the 29-yard line. And that'll bring up fourth down and 6. A minute 20 to go, and Kearney can either run a play or punt the ball away here. And that means with the continuous clock, 2 more plays, and this ball game should be over. Papillion La Vista is going to go to 8-2, and the folks that made the trip to Kearney are going to talk about a great victory here tonight as they forced 5 turnovers, 4 picks, I believe, from 4 different gentlemen. Allison had one, and Lechtenberg had one, and Humphrey had one. Lechtenberg had 2, as a matter of fact. One was a pick 6 that really kind of sealed the deal almost before half. Here's an end around to Lundgren again, and he's going to be upended at the 33-yard line. Will not get the first down, and that will be it for the Kearney Bearcats. They stopped the clock to change possession. And so one more play is all we have left in this Class A football game and in the season for Kearney High. And here comes most of the second unit, I would assume, for Papillion La Vista, out to run the last play. 49-14 Monarchs. They jumped out to a 28-14 halftime lead and shut out the Bearcats in the second half. Even though Kearney had it twice in the early stages of the third quarter inside the 40-yard line. And here's a handoff over the left side to a backup running back that is going to end this football game. And the final score here tonight at Foster Field, Papillion La Vista 49 and Kearney 14. Kearney will end the season at 7-3, and Papillion-La Vista will host Lincoln Southwest next Friday with a record of 8-2. Southwest is 9-1 on the year. We'll be back to break it all down, give you the stats and scores from across the state on the Nabisco Sports Postgame Show right after this.
At ENT Physicians of Kearney, we put patients first. Doctors Owen and Connolly have provided unsurpassed care to adults and children with problems and diseases related to the ear, nose, and throat. To learn more about our practice and the services we provide, please visit our website at entphysiciansofkearney.com. Caring for our community one patient at a time. We're ENT Physicians of Kearney and Family Hearing Center.
Car insurance isn't about the car. It's about the precious cargo the car carries. It's about providing security and confidence that if an accident occurs, you'll be protected. I'm Dave Challey of Barney Insurance. As a local independent agent, we can design an insurance program that's just right for you and your family, providing safe, sound, secure insurance protection from Auto Owners Insurance. Stop by or give us a call.
Time is the true test of endurance. Barney Insurance.
And it's time now for the Nabisco Sports Postgame Show. Nabisco Sports on the bricks of the downtown Kearney Center. Stop by today and you'll be better equipped for the games you play. Right now, all football and volleyball apparel and equipment is 30% off. Get ready for next season, or if you're still going in the postseason this year, get some extra gear at Nabisco Sports on the bricks of the downtown Kearney Center. Maybe you need a Husker sweatshirt or a Loper sweatshirt before going on to cheer on your team tomorrow. They've got them at Nabisco Sports. Tony, you'll look at a stat sheet here, and you'll find out how easy it was by looking at a stat sheet. But Papillion-La Vista came out and did what they've done to most teams this year, and they actually, I think, threw a wrinkle in against Kearney High in the very first drive. They put more in there to run the football a little bit, throw the short passes. They had to be expecting DeTero to start the ball game. Kearney had some confusion on the sidelines. They thought Papillion-La Vista was doing some things that were illegal, and Coach Kuhl was trying to get that changed by the officials. And before you knew it, less than 3 minutes into the ball game, 2 minutes and 55 seconds, they had marched the ball 90 yards down the field and were into the end zone, and this game was on.
Yeah, the game was on, but it was noticeably on offensively and defensively. The speed factor was overwhelming on one side, and it was on the Monarch side. They were faster, both sides of the football. That's undeniable. It doesn't matter across the middle when they tried to throw passes. Once they adjusted their coverage, yeah, Kearney completed some passes, went down, tied the ball game up. They were getting the slant pass to Lindsay. They did that, I think, three times in a row for about 8 yards a crack. They were never big plays, but they were strikes McNitt threw. They were good passes he threw to Lindsay. He was open. He made nice catches. But, you know, once they adjusted to that and shut that down, he never had time to throw the football. And when he would zing it out there, they stepped in a passing lane, four interceptions, too. A miserable night for Luke McNitt. He's the one that's carried this football team almost double the rushing attempts this year than anyone else on this team. And the Monarchs knew that. They keyed on him. They tried to give us some to Lundgren and Brueggemann. They just couldn't get anything going. And if you're going to turn the ball over, you're going to lose. But, you know, it's one thing to feel bad about how your season came to an end. But when you get beat by a team that's bigger, probably a little bit bigger and probably a little more physical and certainly a lot faster than you, that's no disgrace. Somebody moves on, somebody goes home. That's the nature of the playoffs. They were a better football team than Kearney was tonight.
There's no doubt about it. The Bearcats had to play a little bit better football than Papillion, you would have thought, coming into the ball game tonight. And as we look at the stats, Papillion kind of did what they needed to do. They were a little more balanced than they've been all season long. They didn't take a whole lot of shots way down the field. They threw a lot of underneath passes, both quarterbacks, and they ran the ball a lot more, or at least a little more effectively. And most of that was in the second half. They had 106 yards rushing in the second half, 77 in the first half. Here's the numbers. First off, what I had for Kearney, Caleb Lundgren, 14 carries, 32 yards. Trey Anderson, 2 carries, 21 yards. Luke McNitt, 18 carries, 50 yards. He was sacked once, but that was a 15-yard sack, and he had both touchdowns tonight for Kearney on the ground. 34 rushing attempts, only 103 yards on the ground for the Bearcats. McNitt tonight was 12 of 18 in the first half with 3 picks, 6 of 11 in the second half with 1 pick, 72 yards in the first half, 56 yards in the second half, 18 of 29, 4 interceptions, no touchdowns, 128 yards through the air, 103 on the ground, 231 yards of total offense for Kearney, 12 first downs, only 1 punt in the football game, 4 penalties for 35 yards, but the number, 5 turnovers, 1 fumble, and 4 interceptions. And you can go all the way back to that fumble, Tony, which again, when the coaches kind of simmer down in a week and you go, was that really a fumble? Because Kearney was down inside the red zone at the 9-yard line, and McNitt hit Nate Stevens at the 1-yard line, who was immediately jarred. The ball flew out. It looked like it was an incomplete pass. He never came down, never took a step towards the end zone, and was out the rest of the half after getting his bell rung. He did come back in the second half. But that could have tied the football game right there.
Yeah, it certainly. It's one of those
opening drive of the game.
It's one of those big plays, you know, that you look to turn this game around. In the end, you got to hold on to the football. But you know what? Then again, you needed to control it. You needed to keep their offense off the field. And Kearney couldn't sustain a drive for the most part tonight, and that killed them as well.
Now let's take a look at the final numbers for Papillion La Vista. I had Tyler Rice, 9 carries, 55 yards, and a touchdown. Dylan Utter, the big fella, had 2 carries, 11 yards, and a touchdown in this football game.
He doubled his season rushing. He had 5 coming in.
Trey Moore, 12 carries, 42 yards. Scott Lux, 6 carries, 73 yards. Alec DeToro, 6 carries, 5 yards in the football game. 35 carries, 186 yards on the ground for Papillion La Vista. Through the air, DeToro was 7 of 11 in the first half with 2 touchdowns and 117. In the second half, 4 of 7 with 1 touchdown and 27 yards. So for the ball game, 11 of 18, no interceptions, 3 touchdowns for DeToro and 144 yards. And for Trey Moore, in the first half, he was 3 for 4 for 18 yards. In the second half, he was 5 for 6, and he was able to pick up 55 yards, it looks like, in the second half of play and 1 touchdown. So for the game, 8 of 10, no picks, 1 touchdown, and he had 73 yards through the air. So as a team, they did go 19 of 28, no interceptions, 4 touchdowns, 217 through the air, 186 on the ground, 403 yards of total offense, and 19 first downs in the ball game for Papillion La Vista. 2 punts, both were 33 yards, had 1 turnover in the football game, and 5 penalties for 42 yards as Papillion La Vista wins it over Kearney 49-14. We'll wrap it up after this on the Misco Sports postgame show.
Pro Team Design is proud to support our area athletes and their fans. We do that the best way we know how, which is providing quality screen printing and embroidery and unmatched service to all of Central Nebraska. For everything from youth football to college volleyball, we have the brands you want at prices you can afford. So call Pro Team Design in Grand Island today for all of your corporate, athletic, or personal screen printing and embroidery needs. Pro Team Design, 2716 Old Fair Road in Grand Island, 308-398-1154, or check us out on the web at proteamdesign.com.
For professional service to keep your business running smoothly, call Hellman, Maine, Kostler, and Cottle. Don't let your financial accounts become overtaxing. Let Hellman, Maine, Kostler, and Cottle take care of the accounting while you worry about taking care of your business. They can do it all, from a large company to small businesses. They make it a priority to do the best to help take the stress out of the numbers. Best of luck to all the area athletes in tonight's game from Hellman, Maine, Kostler, and Cottle.
What?
And welcome back to high school football here on Classic Hits 98.9 of the World Wide Web. We're trying to get to all the final scores that we can get to you here. Right now in the World Series, they're in the sixth. St. Louis leads it 5-2. Going to the seventh, 5-2. Nebraska Volleyball was a winner tonight in four sets over Ohio State. I'll give you what I've got, Tony. You tell me if you've got some more here, maybe some of the games that are still in progress. We just got a update here. Omaha Westside has been upset by Papillion La Vista South. So a good night for the Papio schools. 21-14, Papillion La Vista South. Omaha Burke survives a scare in the 1-16 matchup. Burke 28, Millard North 23. So Burke will play Papio South. Lincoln East was drummed by Omaha Central 49-14. Grand Island was rolling Columbus, so Grand Island will host Omaha Central next Friday. Lincoln Southeast over Omaha Creighton Prep 35-0. Millard West and Millard South were tied at 17 in the fourth quarter. Of course, here Papillion La Vista wins it 49-14 over Kearney, and they will take on Lincoln Southwest, a 35-13 winner over Bellevue West. In Class B, McCook defeats Alliance 37-14. Adams Central a winner over Gehring, but it was 49-13 with the last 2 minutes to go in that ball game. Elkhorn was rolling Omaha Scutt. Crete beats Elkhorn South 36-0, and Crete will play Aurora in the next round. Aurora wins a shootout with Norris 40-31. Aurora will be at Crete next Friday. This afternoon, Ralston went all the way across the state and won by a couple of extra points, 14-12 over Scott's Bluff, and Gretna defeats Plattsmouth by a score of 35-3. So Gretna has to make that long trip to Ralston in the quarterfinals next week.
Well, everybody's kind of laughing about that, because when you go to the whole state seeding of all the Class B schools, Ralston makes the drive to Scott's Bluff, and you know, sooner or later one of those teams is going to have to do it. You didn't necessarily know it was going to be the very first year that one of those Omaha teams is going to have to go out there, but they make the long drive, get the win, and come out on top, so they advance, and then they'll face the Dragons.
Blair beat Beatrice, by the way, 23-13. They'll take on Elkhorn in the second round. So I believe we've got all the scores out there to you in the second round in Class B. It'll be Adams Central at McCook. It'll be Blair at Elkhorn. It'll be Aurora at Crete. And it'll be Gretna at Ralston. Ralston, the only higher seed to win there in Class B. We better cut that down to 8 teams, Tony. No need to have 16. In Class A, top seed Omaha Burke had to survive 28-23 over Millard North. Papillion La Vista South upsets Omaha West Side, although it was an 8-9 matchup, 21-14. So Burke will be at Papio South. Omaha Central over Lincoln East, 49-14. Grand Island defeats Columbus, and Grand Island will be hosting Omaha Central. Lincoln Southeast blanks Creighton Prep 35-0. They'll play the Millard West, Millard South winner that are tied in the fourth quarter. Lincoln Southwest over Bellevue West 35-13, and Papillion La Vista here with a big night, forcing 5 turnovers, getting 403 yards of total offense, and just about everybody got into the act tonight. DeToro, 3 touchdown passes, Moore, a touchdown pass, Lechtenberg, 2 picks, 1 for a touchdown, and Kearney season comes to an end. This was not the most talented or best Kearney High football team in the last decade, but I think they sure got a lot out of what they had.
No, I think you're right, and I think the lesson is learned once again. Doug, speed kills. They were faster tonight than Kearney was, and the Monarchs advance, and their season continues while they send the Bearcats home. I think it'd be very, very difficult seeing this matchup tonight that envision in 10 times that Kearney would win this, they would win 3 or 4 of them. I don't see that happening. They're too fast. They're overmatched speed-wise, and that kills you. It'd kill you every time.
Well, in the first meeting since 1987, Papillion La Vista won that one as well. It's all over here tonight for the Bearcats. We will be back into volleyball action on Monday here on Classic Hits from the C18 sub-district over
busy,
at Grand Island Northwest every night next week. We've got volleyball Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, and, of course, high school football playoffs on Wednesday. Adams Central will play Gibbon at 4:45, Minden and St. Paul at 6:15, and then the championship, Adams Central Gibbon against Kearney Catholic. Won't be the championship, but it'll be on Monday night at about 7:30 with the sub-district final. Tuesday, Wednesday, here on Classic Hits, Loomis at O'Neill, St. Mary's at 3, Kearney Catholic at Blue Hill at 7. That's where Tony and I will be. We will also have Shelton taking on Garden County on ESPN 1460 at 2:30. And at 6 o'clock, Minden will be taking on Boone Central on the Breeze 94.5 FM. What could be on paper the best matchup, Giltner hosting Humphrey St. Francis at 6 o'clock. And on 1230 KHAS, St. Cecilia up at Atkinson West Holt at 4. You've been listening to the Misco Sports Postgame Show. Misco Sports on the breaks of the downtown Kearney Center. If you're getting ready for the winter sports season, as a lot of folks are doing now, basketball, wrestling, or if you just want something warm to wear, they've got the practice gear, the gym bags, the shoes, the socks, whatever it is you need at Misco Sports on the breaks downtown Kearney. Want to thank Brandon Cool and all the folks with Kearney High, as always, for all their help this year, whether it be on the football game, the Doug and Daddy Show, or anytime we need them. Congratulations on another successful year.
You know, it was a real successful year. I don't know what they expected to start the year, but you know, they had the line, but they knew that there was a shortage of some speed to the outside. And when you get a couple people, Josh Smith hurt to start the season, doesn't help matters anything. But they battled pretty much all year long. I think they got to be happy when they look back on it. Hey, you're disappointed tonight, but I still say when you get beat by somebody that's better than you, that's no, you know, that's just something that happens in life, and you move on from it. But Coach Cool and the staff will regroup. They'll be back in the playoffs for years to come.
And again, the final score here tonight, it was Papillion La Vista 49, Kearney High 14. For our producer engineers, Stacy Johns and Tony Davis, I'm Doug Duda saying enjoy the college and pro football this weekend. We'll see you next week here on Classic Hits.
The proceeding has been a presentation of Platte River Radio Sports.
When I was a little bitty boy.
You were a little boy.
You look like the sweet little boy from next door.
When I was a little boy.
When I was just a boy.
I love
Classic Hits 98.9.
Oh, boy!
Lock the front door.